What the heck is going on downtown? It was, as we were driving in on the drive tonight, it was like, I'm not exaggerating, morning rush hour.
Yeah.
It was so crowded.
Bumper to bumper.
And we've seen the heavy traffic on Saturday nights, but this was literally Monday morning rush hour.
And it was rubber banding. So it, everybody would stop. And then we'd say, okay, something's going on up ahead. Nothing was going on. We'd stretch out.
We have a lot of people in town
for
the marathon.
Yeah.
So
but
maybe
also,
they're getting their last, you know, carbo loading.
That's right, eating spaghetti.
Tonight, yeah, before the big race tomorrow. They're going to go home and get to sleep.
And check out the pictures that Johnny posted on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And look in particular at... There is one, I think it's a Jeep. It's either a Hummer or a Jeep, but I think it's a Jeep.
It's a little blurry because we were, of course, driving at that point, but I wanted to get a shot of it.
And, I mean, he is styling. He has crazy taillights, and he had the back
window
is popped up, and you can see the TV screen where he's showing. I don't know what he's showing, and he was blasting. I mean, he was trying to keep a low profile,
that's
obviously.
That's right, yes.
But if you get the chance, take a look.
It was about a 20-inch screen that's sitting...
Oh, it's more than that.
...facing traffic behind him. And the whatever he was playing did not coincide with the video that was showing.
And not surprisingly, you'll see it's the tires are almost twice the size of the vehicle.
Yeah, well, so, it's probably a very expensive vehicle if you really look at it.
But then we noticed as we got around the curve, a lot of vehicles pulled off onto LaSalle, and a lot of vehicles pulled off onto Michigan Avenue.
Again, tourists that are here for the marathon.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, literally thousands of people, and the weather's going to be perfect for it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to do it, and then I thought, nah, I'd have to go buy shoes. That's the only thing that kept me from doing the marathon.
And I was going to do it, but I didn't want to show you up. So
I know. And Ron, you've actually done a marathon, haven't you?
I have done six marathons,
oh,
I think, and four of them have been in Chicago.
Wow.
And I love the Chicago Marathon. The other two that I've done were a little hilly, but the Chicago Marathon is nice and flat, and loved it, and loved the crowds, loved the, you know, all of it. I mean, like, it takes me 5.5 hours to do it, but I loved all of it.
Did you travel Lower Wacker, like right down at the base of this building, Columbus Wacker, when you did the marathon? Because we were struck by the fact that the construction that has been huge right outside the entrance of our garage to this building, it's been there for over a month, and suddenly it's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. So Bob Fukuda's in the. You said it looks like they're going to run this.
They're
time?
Supposed to run.
They're supposed to run right past
our door, so to speak.
It's not very attractive down there.
In Lower Wacker,
maybe that'll make them run faster.
Now, is that going to be Upper Columbus or Lower?
Lower
Columbus?
Wacker. Lower. That's why the construction was moved. Yeah.
That's got to be a first. No, I don't. I certainly didn't. I would remember that.
Right? Are they calling this the Batman Run?
Yes.
They could.
The Blues Brothers Run.
Yeah.
For the anniversary of the Blues Brothers. Well, I'm sure there are people that will be running, going, "Are we going the right way? I'm just following everybody else." Because suddenly, there you are on Lower Wacker. And we mentioned those two movies because those two movies were actually filmed down on Lower Wacker.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob,
in fact, we should do a thing sometime about how many movies were filmed on Lower Wacker.
Two.
No.
Be a short list.
Because the other one was it called The Fury? Because I remember back in the 70s when I was at the Once Big 89 and I parked on Lower Wacker and I came out and I couldn't get to my car because they had Lower Wacker blocked off because they were doing a car chase scene. Was it The Fury?
Are you thinking about the movie that also went to Old Chicago?
Yeah.
Where the demon was riding on the
like the,
was it on the roller coaster or the Ferris wheel or something?
I probably got the title right, like The Fury, The Omen, The Something.
Yes.
The Something.
The Fury would be correct.
It is The Fury.
Oh, all right.
There's also Adventures in Babysitting.
Oh yeah.
That was
yes,
a good one.
Yes. I love that movie. Well, speaking of movies, and we'll talk about her more later tonight, but as a movie fan, Ron, I think you probably were surprised, as I was, as her fans were, Diane Keaton's passing.
Oh, I was shocked by that.
Yeah.
Because she's just so wonderful in everything she does.
Absolutely. And Steve, after 40 plus years, you learned that I went through my Annie Hall phase thanks to her. My whole wardrobe was Annie Hall. And
well, I've seen some of the pictures. So
I was actually looking for a nerdy guy like Woody.
But one of the many things I appreciated about her, she did not. If you look at the most recent pictures of her, no face work.
Yeah.
Right.
Hair, she let go silver gray.
Mm-hmm.
Looked great. I mean, could you see that she was older than she was when she did Annie Hall? Yeah. But she looked like her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
her
always smiling.
Eyes and her smile. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And always a little bit of Annie Hall. There was always, because I can remember seeing her on. I think it was Ellen DeGeneres' show, and she was actually nervous, you know, kind of like, ew. And then it took some time for her to relax, and I thought, yeah, that's her character.
La-di-da.
La-di-da.
And she said she based that on her grandmother, Grammy Hall, because Diane Keaton's last name is really Hall, but she, you know, could not use Hall because there was already another actor named Diane Hall, so she took her mother's maiden name of Keaton.
I don't remember another actress named Diane Hall.
Well, not as famous as Diane Keaton, that's for sure.
Really, yes.
Sadly, we got the word this week that Moody Blues singer and bassist John Lodge passed away at 82. His family said he died peacefully, surrounded by the sounds of the Everly Brothers and Buddy Holly.
Mm. Because he always talked about his early influences were the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
What an interesting combination for an English boy.
Mm-hmm.
And what a talent. Oh, my gosh. I think he is one of the reasons why they had that fabulous symphonic sound in the Moody Blues. And singing the rock and roll band, Isn't Life Strange, Ride My Seesaw, those you heard his voice on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough week when it came to people that passed. Locally, here in Chicago, we lost two people, I think it is fair to say, icons.
Yeah.
And one, we had the great pleasure of getting to know her on the radio, Sister Jean.
Yeah.
She was a regular on our show at 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was like it was noon. She was always so wide awake and so chipper and just so delightful. And when we were talking to her, she was in her 90s.
And she passed away at the age of 106.
A couple people said the same thing that I said. If you listen to our show, you got to know Alice Selke.
Yeah.
Who passed away just weeks after turning 107. And I thought to myself when I heard the news about Sister Jean, well, Alice, as a devout Catholic, is up there waiting for Sister Jean. And a number of other people said, you know what? It made me think of Alice when Sister Jean passed away.
One of the many things I loved about Sister Jean, I mean, she was always fun every time we talked to her.
Funny.
But if you look at just about any picture of her, she has the best smile.
Yes, absolutely. Team, for people who are not local folks, team chaplain for the Loyola University Ramblers basketball team. She was there wearing her school colors. They were superstitious enough. She had to be there when they were on a winning streak. Oh, my gosh. March Madness. She was in, dare I say, in heaven.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to get her 2 cents worth. So she would be all over media talking about her team and basketball. And she was just such an interesting person. She graduated from high school in 37. She entered the Sisters of Charity of the Blessed Virgin Mary Convent in Iowa and was formally received into the community in 1938.
She was born in 1919 as Dolores Bertha Schmidt.
She took the name Sister Jean in 1941, and she taught in California for some time. And Chicago embraced her.
Yeah.
She was like a rock star? Is that fair to say? I mean, she really was. People just wanted to be in her presence when she showed up at games.
She had just such a great vibe.
Yeah, she really did. And sadly, the other story that we woke up to this morning was, or Saturday morning, was the passing of another Chicago icon, Tony Fitzpatrick. Artist Tony Fitzpatrick. Rick Hogan recently did a fabulous piece on Tony Fitzpatrick. And Tony had just finished a book with Eckhart's Press.
In fact, we may talk with Rick Kempfert about that next week.
He had been in the hospital waiting for a double lung transplant. Born, I believe I heard, Western Suburbs out in Lombard. He took art classes, but his art really spoke to me because it was like nothing out there, and collages and images. And if you were a fan of Steve Earle, you saw the covers of Steve Earle's albums. Those were Tony Fitzpatrick. Yes, he did radio. He even popped up in film. He, a poet. One of my favorite stories, and I think he knew that he was beloved because a lot of his friends and fans were reaching out to him when they found out that he was very ill and was waiting for a double lung transplant. But I read so many beautiful stories today about him as a person, as an artist. And John Duffy, who you all got to know on this radio station over the years, John Duffy was on here talking about getting through life a little easier by understanding our mental state. And he wrote a beautiful piece. He said, about 20 years ago, I was on the hunt for a Tony Fitzpatrick piece for my wife Julie's birthday. We are fans of his and big fans of his buddy and great Americana artist Steve Earle. Tony had created all of Steve's album art, including the two-tailed snake masterpiece. He said, and this is John Duffy writing, I attended a showing of Tony's art at DePaul, and I asked about posters or prints, and they didn't have any for sale, so they directed me to Tony's studio. So I found myself at the front door of a plain red brick building on Damon. I knocked nervously, and I heard, yeah, come on in. And I said, Tony? And there he was, the legend, just sitting right there at work. And he took me to his prints. He showed me exactly what I was looking for. Fresh out of grad school, I could not afford it at that time. I thank Tony for his time, and I promised to be back when I had the cash. As I was starting my little VW, Tony Fitzpatrick tossed his ample figure onto the hood of my car. Wait, I want you and your wife to have this. And he actually gave him the piece that he'd been looking at in the studio. He asked me what I had. I told him how much I had. He spotted me the rest. He threw in a self-portrait of Steve Earle as well. And he said, forever grateful to the big man. Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
I thought that was so sweet. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a working artist.
Yeah, Tony Fitzpatrick is a case of someone that I haven't heard anybody have anything negative. He just had so many people that had such positive memories and thoughts about him. And sadly, we hadn't talked with him in too many years.
Yeah. He got an early break back in 89 when the powerhouse New Orleans R&B group the Neville Brothers hired him to create the cover of their album Yellow Moon. The album would become the group's global breakthrough, and it earned them a Grammy. And 1 year later, Tony Fitzpatrick co-founded World Tattoo, his South Loop gallery that doubled as an art collective and a performance space. And he had a lot of things on the horizon. There was going to be a play based on his book, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about him.
And you'll read a lot about him.
Yeah.
Ron, the final word is?
3-1, Cubs lose. Wait until next year.
Yeah.
So it'll be the Brewers and the Dodgers playing.
Can we burn your shirt now?
No.
That was a good luck shirt.
I'll save it for next year. You know, hey, they had a really good year.
Yes.
They had a really good series against the Brewers. I mean, they won a couple of games at Wrigley Field. They looked good. But
those games were exciting. That last one was, that was textbook.
The Brewers had the best record in all of baseball.
Yep.
So they're no slouches.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the article? I think it was a Tribune article where they were saying that for the Brewers, this in a sense, was like a World Series game because not only they're playing the Cubs, but they're playing their former manager.
Yes. Yeah, there's some extra incentive there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so it's sweet for them. And the Brewers, you know, they've had a good team for several years. This might be the one that puts them over the edge. I'll be cheering for them over the Dodgers because the Dodgers are a big payroll team. You feel like they've they're buying, you know, a championship. So the
like
Brewers
the Yankees are, have done know, for years.
And mm-hmm. the Brewers are small market. So, you know, I'm inclined to cheer for the Brewers against the Dodgers.
And I will be – I like both teams, but I will be cheering for the Brewers because of Vaughn, former
yes.
Sox player, and
he
look how much he added to the Brewers
in
this
fact,
year.
He was one of our three favorite White Sox players.
Yep.
And I was really, really not happy when he left, but then I thought, okay, he's going to a great team. He's mm-hmm. such a good player. This is
and
wonderful
he plays
for him.
Full out all
yeah.
the time.
And he did great tonight, too.
Well, remember, they sent him down to the minors.
Yeah.
The White
yeah.
Sox did,
that's right.
didn't they? And
yeah.
That maybe that helped spur him on, or maybe it was a decision on not realizing just how good that he is or could mm-hmm. be or the potential. I don't know. But he looked good tonight. He was one of the three who hit a home run today yeah. for the Brewers.
Well, text coming in, and you can text us throughout the show at 312-981-7200. Boo-hoo. Boo-hoo. I don't know if that's sarcastic, boo-hoo, Cubs that's... you lose, or if that's legit.
Yeah. Was that one from me? I don't know.
No, that was from a 414 area
yeah, they're
code.
Channeling my emotions.
Yes. This was an interesting one from Chesapeake, Virginia. They checked in tonight. No, that's not the one. With someone from Philadelphia says, I'm waiting for my favorite people on the radio. Well, I'm watching with one eye the Cubs game, so it must be a transplanted Chicagoan, I have to figure. Yeah, she said, I'm just checking in from Pittsburgh, and she says, you know what, don't get ugly about the Cubs, all right? Don't.
Are there some of those on there?
Yeah, there's always somebody that comes along and goes, yeah, this is good. And I don't even think that they're Milwaukee fans, I just think they're, you know...
White Sox fans, maybe?
No. Well, you're talking to a couple of White Sox fans that were in 100% for the Cubs.
Some, yeah. Some
are
some
ugly.
Of them are yeah. just, you know, yeah. in, revel in someone else's pain.
And I know it's always sad after a loss like this, but you have to think that the Cubs driving that 90 miles back to Chicago, that's going to be a sad drive tonight.
Yeah. Don't you know state troopers are now waiting on the side of the road going, yeah, looking for them Illinois cars, because
yep.
they're not going to be happy as they hit 94 going south. Well, Bob Fukuda's in the studio with us. Now, this means you, your side hustle is engineering, which requires you to go up to Milwaukee on Monday, right?
Yep, start of the NLCS.
Yeah, you sound really happy about it.
Oh, too. Well, you know, it's a whole nother opportunity watch baseball and get paid. So
yeah,
can't
that's
beat
true.
That.
This is true. And you're only 90 miles away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, will you be there for the whole series?
No, because I still have job here.
Yeah, you're funny like that.
So, yeah.
Well,
so I'll be commuting.
You can regale us with tales next Saturday of heading up across.
Will you be on the air with us next week, or are they scheduled for?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, I have to skip those. Yeah. Like I did. Like I was supposed to be up there today, but
yeah.
You know, there's four of us working, so somebody has to slide over and take my place.
Well, he will regale us with tales next week.
Oh, I was so tempted when I went up there the first time. I was so tempted to buy you guys either Bratstop stuff or
cheese.
Or squeaky cheese.
Yes. Oh, curds.
We still haven't mentioned a lot of the things that are coming up tonight, and we don't have time to do it.
And next, we are going to talk about a group that I was unaware of. And I'm tickled to find out more about this organization called the Military Miniature Society of Illinois.
And it is considered to be one of the top-level exhibitions of painted miniature sculptures in the world.
Who knew? Well, we find out more by talking to the current president, who is Joe Burton. Joe, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you?
Hey, Joe.
Good evening, you two. Great to be with you, Steve and Johnny.
Thank you. So when I found out that there was going to be a show coming up next week in Schaumburg, I said, but what is this new group? And it's actually been around for how long, Joe?
Well, this coming weekend is going to be our 50th show.
Wow.
So the club, the society itself, has been around since the 1950s, but we've been having an annual show since 1975.
Wow.
And I got involved with the group as a teenager, so I go way back as far as this group goes.
Tell us about how does the group work? What would you see if you come to the show?
Yeah.
What are the exhibitions?
Well, the military miniatures, basically, they're about the size of, you know, the traditional toy soldiers, the Green Army men, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But these are finely sculpted. They're painted to exact detail. Many of us have possibly an art or sculpting background as well. Many of us are amateurs when it comes to artwork. But we take those skills, we take our interest in history or science fiction, fantasy, wide ranges of subject that we basically try to capture in miniature with exact painting and exact sculpting.
What were you collecting as a teenager that got you involved in the group?
I started pretty much with the plastic toy soldiers that were common in the late 50s, early Green Army men.
Yeah.
Sure.
Then they didn't make the historical periods I was interested in. I was more interested in Lawrence of Arabia and the British and the Sudan. So I started changing my toy soldiers around to be more accurate to those periods. Then I found out there was a local hobby shop, and this society, the MMSI, was a local group based in Chicago. So that got me involved with other people that have that same interest.
Am I thinking about the right thing when I talk about lead soldiers? I guess they go back to like the 30s and 40s. Is that what we're talking about too, that those very intricately designed soldiers? And I'm saying this because I have a half dozen knights in shining armor, and I don't even know how I came to own them, but I was told that they are... Is lead the material that they would be made out of, Joe?
Well, in the old days, maybe in the toy soldiers go back to even the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
so some of those figures might have been made of more of a lead and tin alloy. And some of the toys that maybe our parents had, even when I was young, you could buy some of the metal soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your listeners might have even were experimenting with melting lead on the stove top and casting their own soldiers.
Uh-huh.
We're much more intricate than that. You know, there's some resins and 3D sculpting now and various materials to make to create what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But the old days of melting lead and damaging, and all the fire and brimstone days are pretty much over.
Gone. Now, are you using a mold when you're making your soldiers?
Well, if one is getting started, primarily most people buy an existing kit that was sculpted by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of building maybe a model airplane or a tank, a ship of some kind, you're actually buying a kit of a model soldier that someone has sculpted. And then you buy the hobby-related materials to paint those in,
mm-hmm.
highlights and shadows and great details, making sure it could be as accurate historically as possible. From there, some of us go on to more advanced conversions, you know, changing a Napoleonic soldier into some Arab tribesman by actually grinding away and re-sculpting it.
What?
Some people do completely scratch-built, where we're working on wire armatures and using a mixture of like an epoxy-based putty. It's all an additive form of sculpture. So you're putting it on and using fine tools to do the detail work. Getting the sculpture all completed and then painting it in a realistic way.
As you're doing this, what do you use as a resource to make sure that you are historically accurate with the sculptures?
Well, in the old days, that quite often would involve trying to track down books that might have photographs in these. With the internet now, surprisingly, some of the sculptures I've been doing, I've been completely able to research on the internet. I do a lot of archival research for my own work as well. I'm interested in Lawrence of Arabia and Bonaparte in Egypt. So some of my sculpting research might involve going to museums in England or France to photograph actual material to try and duplicate that miniature.
So at the
books and research that are available now, it's really quite extensive.
So some of your miniatures will be on display at the 50th Chicago show?
I'll have some there, but we'll have 200 makers, 200 artists at least showing their work. I will probably have maybe 1,500 exhibits on display.
Wow.
We get artists in all over from this country, but we've got some coming from Europe as well. We've got some coming from Malta and Spain and Sweden. It's quite an international group. Many of us participated in a show in July in Versailles, just outside of Paris. And for that show, we had over 800 exhibitors and probably 4,000 pieces of work on display.
Wow. When you go to the website, wow, there are so many cool things on the website.
So, Joe, before we go any further, tell us specifically about the show, when it happens, where it's going to be happening.
Okay. The show is coming up this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, October 17th and 18th. It's at the Marriott in Schaumburg, which is really by the Woodfield Shopping Center.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday, we're going to be open to the public from 3 to 8. And on Saturday, we open 9 in the morning until 5. If you're interested in the hobby, we'll not only have outstanding work on display, but we'll have vendors there selling beginning kits, always up to the advanced types of models some people do,
mm-hmm.
all the supplies you might need. We'll also have a book table there if you're interested in any kind of military history. We do that as a fundraiser for our club. There's plenty to find and seek and look at. And if you come out there, you can track me down. I'll even give you my greatest hits tour of the exhibition.
So, Joe, as we talk about the people coming from around the world with their models to exhibit, is this a juried show? Is there going to be some kind of, is there some kind of competition in the show, or how does that work?
Well, we encourage people to exhibit. But part of the exhibition itself is recognizing good work. So we have internationally known judges that will go ahead and assess the quality of work on display, and we give out bronze, silver, and gold medals as well.
Oh, wow.
What is the price for tickets?
It's $10. Children under 12 are free, so I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of seminars being offered as well, so we always try to do something for people, even if they're experts on one field, to go ahead and learn some advanced techniques mm-hmm. that can be used in their modeling.
I would imagine that the internet has changed the club. As you say, it started in 52. This is the 50th actual exhibit show. Did the internet suddenly just make the whole club just explode?
It has. You know, we used to be primarily a strongly local show.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of shops and bookstores in the Evanston and Skokie area. It was somewhat of our headquarters. We put out a quarterly publication, our club does, and we've gone from that printed material to now everything is electronic.
Uh-huh.
So we've gone from a paid local membership of about 200 members to now we're over 1,000 members worldwide.
Wow.
And just with an email, you can go ahead and join the society, and you'll get a free subscription to our publication that we do and updates on the local meetings. Probably, with the exception of the summertime, we meet locally as well. Like, quite often those subjects will be hobby-related, how to make these types of miniatures, or might relate to some sort of military history subject as well that people do like to model.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the surface, I would think that your
website as well.
On the surface, I would think that your primary fan base would be male. Am I right or wrong in that?
Well, I think we're pretty heavy as far as the males go, mm-hmm. but we do have some extremely talented women modelers as well. So we welcome everybody, but I think with the internet as well, that's really broadened the base as well.
Right.
You've got not only are there how-to videos that you could find to improve your modeling and painting skills, but that work gets exposed to people, really, anyone who wants to find out how to improve their own craftsmanship, their own artistic level, that's available at their fingertips. But what's great is that this show, you go out there, you see it in person, you can look at the very best work that's being done and learn from that. Most of the makers will be there, so if you find something that you like, you can track us down and ask questions about how things are done. It's really a very open and sharing group of people.
Is there any historical area that is the most dominant when it comes to these miniatures?
I think the Napoleonic period, anything from that.
Really?
You know, right up to young Napoleon all the way up to the Battle of Waterloo has been extremely popular.
Why?
And then we found with younger people, and in our group, I guess younger people might be anyone under 40, the younger people tend to be more interested in the science fiction, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, Marvel wow. superheroes, Warhammer figures, all of that kind of thing. So there are some of our members that do the wargaming mm-hmm. and that type of participation, but our group really focuses more on the painting skills involved with those figures.
This is really so cool.
I'm fascinated by this.
We're both saying, where have we been? And it's especially cool that it's right here in Chicago. I mean, and we've done, over the years, Joe, we've done so many shows on hobbies and collectibles, and never in 40-plus years have we touched on the military miniatures.
Well, you know, I think a lot of us in the hobbies, many of us start out building cars and boats and planes and tanks and mm-hmm. things, but I think working with miniature people is just so fascinating.
Yeah.
And they're not all military subjects. I mean, over the years, I've done figures of Van Gogh and Monet and Hemingway. Others of my earnest friends have done the same thing. It might be heavily dominated with the military subjects, but the range that people do try to capture in miniature really runs the whole gamut.
Yeah.
All through history, military or civilian, and then into that whole fantasy fictional world as well.
Okay. What's the wildest one you've ever seen? Something that you said, okay, I thought I heard of everything. I never saw this.
Well, we had, I think of a friend of mine who's just recently passed away named Fletcher Clement, and he sculpted many of us, his friends in the miniature hobby, as characters in this large-scale vignette or diorama, the little sculpture of me that was part of this vignette was a figure of me riding a camel because of what I do with Lawrence of Arabia and things. So many
I love
of
that.
Friends were pictured in miniature. You know, another guy who does Napoleonic things, he was sitting there on a horse like Napoleon. Some of these... there must have been 50 or 60 of us in this portrait of many of us. It was just wild.
Yeah.
So I think that is so wild, it's probably hard for the listeners to even imagine, but it really hit the nerve. It hit the funny bone on many of us when
yeah.
we saw that.
Well,
Joe, if you were in the studio with us, you would see that both of our mouths are hanging
yeah,
wide open.
Because I just think it's so cool. It's one thing to be artistically inclined, but to take it down to miniature and then do it, I mean, that would be such an honor to have someone actually do you in miniature. That is wild. Well, people can look at some of the pictures of some of the things that were exhibited. I'm looking in the 2024, and they blow my mind. And again, I'm looking at a picture, and then I have to remember these are miniatures.
Yeah.
So folks right. can come out to the show on Friday and Saturday. And Friday, they can get the whole rundown if they go to the website. And as I say, I've got the link up on our Facebook page. So click on that. And while you're there, you can look at the things that have been exhibited in past shows. And the 50 years of the Chicago show. Now, is that something that people can buy when they're out there? For $20?
Oh, yeah, we've got a book. Yes.
Yeah.
My friend Jim DeRogatis and I have been
yeah.
working putting together a book on the history of these 50 years. And some of us have been almost off 50. A couple of us have been to off 50, but that book will highlight the years from 1975 up until this year.
And if you want to join the Military Miniature Society of Illinois, you can do that via email by going to the website, correct, Joe?
That's right. Yep.
All right.
Just join up on the website.
Well, with all the years that both of us have been broadcasting in Chicago, this is a discovery, and it's a wonderful discovery.
It's a first. I'm so happy to know all about you, and stay in touch with this show because I see us doing shows in the future because I'm just blown away. Again, the public is invited to the show, $10 for a ticket. Bring the kids out. You started as a teenager. You never know. You might have a young'un that says, hey, this speaks to me. I could do this.
And again, go to our Facebook page, and you'll find a link to the whole show.
Yeah, we've got kits available, so come on by our show table, and if you're young and you want to get started, I'll give you a kit to get started.
Love it. At the Marriott Schomburg, 50 North Martingale, and that's Friday and Saturday. Joe Burton, thank you so much for joining us tonight and enlightening us on the Military Miniature Society of Illinois. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Glad
Take
to
care.
Be a part of you.
Bye-bye now.
Well, 'tis the bewitching month of October. Mm-hmm. And we have been known to share a scary story or two, and we're doing that every Saturday night for the next couple weeks. By the way, the Saturday night before Halloween, we will be replaying our last conversation, part of our last conversation with Chicago's ghost hunter Richard Crow, where he tells the story of Resurrection Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we've had a lot of people asking about our Halloween poem, and we will make that available next week because a lot of people like to have the Halloween poem and have some parties.
And they also use that in grade school Halloween mm-hmm. parties and Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. And we've had great feedback over the years, over the decades that we've shared the Halloween poem with our audience.
But now we would like you to... To set the stage, first of all, turn out the light. Now, sit with your back to the radio, okay? Yeah, it's just my voice coming from behind you, and just keep repeating, it's only a story. Nothing to be afraid of. Is there?
Are you one of the frightened? Have you ever tried to run away from something? You do everything in your power to put something off, defeat the hand of fate, and then it happens anyway. Oh, you must know what I mean. Surely in your own lifetime you've tried to avoid someone or something, only to have destiny come upon you as inexorably as the grave approaches us. Draw your chair closer to the fire. No, 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 don't draw away. That's a mistake. I'll show you why. Have you ever heard the incredible tale of Vashtu Singh? He was a Hindu manservant, and what happened to him in India a long time ago is something no living soul can afford to ignore. So listen closely. Ugly vultures wheeled through the summer sky that day, and the people of the village bowed their heads towards Mecca. It was a time of the plague and starvation, and the streets were filled with the wasted bodies of death. Something hung like a pall in the air, something poised to strike. But there was only prayer to comfort the sick. The wants of the house had been many, and the master had sent his trusted servant Vashtu Singh into the village to stock up on food and supplies for the coming week. The sands in the glass had shifted many times over, and the master was impatient for the return of Vashtu Singh. But he was not prepared for the sight of his manservant rushing into the house, his turban awry, his eyes wild and unreasoning. A flurry of frightened words bubbled on Vashtu Singh's lips. The master quieted him down and asked to hear what had occurred. Master, pleaded Vashtu Singh, I was in the marketplace to buy food, and I saw death. He looked right at me. Master, you must give me your fastest horse, and I will ride to Samara to escape my fate. The master listened, and knowing the ways of the Hindu, gave Vashtu the horse he needed, and bade him flee at all possible speed. But after the servant had gone, the master's curiosity got the better of him. Garbing himself in a flowing burnous, he went out into the stable, mounted a horse, and rode into the village. The marketplace was teeming with life and hoarse cries of vendor urging sales to the passerby, but the master saw death standing at the door. The master drew abreast of him, dismounted. Death saw him coming and waited, the blackness of his robes offset by the deadly wax of his features. But the master was not afraid of death. He was angry at the loss of his favorite servant. See here, he demanded angrily. What the devil do you mean by frightening my manservant like that? Now he's gone off and it's all your fault. The utter surprise on the white face of death was unmistakably genuine. I'm sorry, he said in a flat, sepulchral tone. I myself was very startled to see Vashtu Singh here in the marketplace. You see, I have an appointment with him tomorrow in Samara. So you see how it is. Vashtu Singh, like so many of us, tried to run away from his destiny, only to run right into it. Are you feeling cold? Well, draw closer to the fire. There now, isn't that better? And remember, please don't be late for our appointment tomorrow. You know how I hate to wait. And I'll catch up with you eventually.
I love that.
I love his voice.
Boris Karloff, the legendary Boris Karloff, and he did a series of albums called Tales of the Frightened. They were done years ago on Mercury Records, back when Mercury was here in Chicago.
Really?
And just some wonderful, scary stories.
Yeah, one story after another, about 5 minutes long, and he really sets the scene, and that voice, you just kind of slip into the story.
Yeah.
I was telling you that I just out of curiosity, I typed in Boris Karloff to see what would pop up, and The Grinch pops up, and I said, I forgot he was. Mm-hmm. That was his last creature that he voiced, was The Grinch Who Stole Christmas in 1966. He was 79 years old. He was racked with emphysema.
Yeah.
He passed away just a few years after that, but he won a Grammy for being The Grinch.
I wonder, is his daughter still around? Because remember, we talked with Sarah Karloff.
We had her on a number of times because she was petitioning to get her dad
on a stamp.
And
that was when they finally came out with, I think it was 4 stamps.
Yes. And it worked.
Yeah.
And she was just delightful. She had great stories to tell about her dad. You know, that was a while back. She was probably 60-something then.
Yeah.
We'll find our old Rolodex and we'll look her up.
And somewhere we actually have our
old Rolodex.
Yep.
Yes, which there was a time when it was very valuable because of all the names and the phone numbers and that.
We will do another scary story next week. And again, 2 weeks from tonight, we will be replaying part of our last conversation with Chicago's ghost hunter, Richard Crow, and his telling of the tale of Resurrection Mary. But coming up, I think we have some shouts.
Yes.
Let me start out with some shout outs to some of the people who check out our blog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing something a little different. You've been asking about some of the countries, and I thought, well, let's go back. I usually do just a week's worth. This is some of the countries in the past month that have checked out our blog.
Okay.
Of course, the United States, Ireland, Canada, Poland, the United Kingdom, Australia, China, Sweden, Germany, France, Austria, the Philippines, Slovenia, Puerto Rico, New Zealand, Moldova, Italy, India.
What?
Let me see, am I done? No, I'm not. Israel, Greece, Brazil, Belgium, and Argentina.
Wow.
Those are the countries that have been checking out our blog within the past month. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
We periodically we get texts from people who are listening from one of those countries. In fact, where is it? Somebody's listening to us tonight on a...
On a cruise.
On a cruise, yeah.
The Elbe River in Germany. That's Anne, who's a local a person, and you checked in tonight listening from Germany where it is already Sunday morning. So we got a whole bunch of names to roll through here, and if you signed in tonight, we'll give you a shout-out. I think I've counted 16 states that have checked. Oh, make that 17. Wichita Falls, Texas just checked in. That would be Dan Lewandowski, a former native of Norridge. Woo, it's going to be a long night. Bonnie and George, God bless them. They're the first ones to check in every Saturday night from Elgin. Thank you, Bonnie and George. John Apodaca is in Reno, Nevada. Nancy Hollins and Jeff Olin, he's in McHenry. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. John Couture's in Michigan. Joe Bonadonna. You know, thank you folks for giving me names that I just love saying. Bonadonna and Apodaca. And yeah, Bing Besh checked in tonight too from Winfield. So thank you guys. Liz Blackmore's in Naperville. Bonnie Pearson. Bonnie, we got another Bonnie who checked in from Butternut, Wisconsin. Jones in Wisconsin. Doug Youngham is in Naperville. Ken Fallett's in Ann Arbor. JP's in Peoria. J.W. Mink is in Chesapeake, Virginia. Stacy Drager's in Algonquin. Sherry's in Bolingbroke. I got to go back to Doug Youngham because he said, today, my dreams of a Rose Bowl and a World Series were dashed, both in one lousy day.
In one swell swoop.
Yeah, that's tough. Well, okay, some of the other folks, and many of you check in on our Facebook page when we post what's happening on the show or what's going to be happening on the show. Zeke from Zenda, Wisconsin. Now, I love that alliteration. Zeke from Zenda, Wisconsin. Mike is in Gahanna, Ohio. He's an Evanston native. And Mike, I'm going to attempt your last name, Kochonian, with a K, in Ohio. Thank you, Mike. Diane Vasquez is our graphics guru, and she put an adorable graphic up today. Hello, Pumpkin. Saturday smiles. Thank you, Diane. Bobby Danos is listening on his clock radio out in Sandwich. Susie Schemmel's in Glen Ellen. Lynn Kinzer, hoping that the Brew Crew wins. I'll be listening to you from San Antonio, Florida. And she said, I hope the scary stories aren't too spooky. They're never that spooky.
Yeah.
Steve sets the stage for you. And after that, trust me, they're never going to be that bad because I'm on this end too.
Well, not so far.
No, stop. I don't like when you talk in that voice. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio show and this station, is out in Hobart listening on his Amazon Echo. Rita Reggie's in Denton, Texas. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory. Beverly Goodall, she says, I'll be listening from Highwood while packing to go back to Door County. And I think Bev is the one that sent us our very own goat.
Yeah.
She adopted a goat for us up in Door County.
In fact, we were just talking about it with our friends Gary and Sue last night, and we're planning a trip up to Door County in a few months.
We are going to do that. It's been way too long. Brian Lefevre's in Bridgeport. Tom Fide is listening from Medina on his 1970s clock radio from his high school days.
Cool.
Margo Moore is in Albuquerque listening from the balloon capital of the world. Boy, some of the video from the balloon festival is just, it's jaw-dropping. Susan Powell's in Memphis. Steve.
Memphis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nancy Witts, Milwaukee. Rob Mecklen is listening. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Jackie Spores tuned in tonight, hoping that the Cubs win. Yeah, we all were.
Yeah.
But what do they say? Yeah, next year.
I think I heard that someplace.
Yeah, Bonnie Pearson and her pup Lola are in Grays Lake. Mary Gold.
Hi, Lola.
Mary Gold is listening from Amboy. Eric Self is in Smith Grove, Kentucky. Sandy McCombs is in Michigan City, Indiana. Kathy Abnar is listening in Peoria. Robin Akins in Port Charlotte, Florida. Debbie Hardeman's in Waukesha. Tracy Douglas is in rainy Savannah, Georgia. That sounds like a song. Rainy nights in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Smith is on the northwest side Brooke of Chicago.
Benton.
Yes, Brooke Benton. Roy Phillips is on the northwest. Is in northwest Illinois. Judy B. Checks in. Eric Baum sends us a picture tonight because he's in Vienna, Austria. Wow. He's listening on the GN app. Instead of Wells
cool.
Beach, Maine tonight, I'm on a two-week Danube River cruise with my college friends from 45 years ago. And he puts up a picture of his college gang.
That's cool.
Then and now, 45 years ago. 1997 wasn't 45 years ago. Don't mess with me like that, because he's got those dates up there. Scott Cooper's in Naperville. Priscilla Gilbert Steig is listening to us in Joliet. Marie Prudence is Evergreen Park. Nancy Tomaszewski's in West Allis. And finally, I think I got everybody tonight. So,
but I have a couple additions.
Okay.
We're talking about our blog, and every week, if you subscribe to our blog, and we hope you do, and you should check out Steve and Johnny. .wordpress.com. It's a free subscription, and you only get emails anytime we do a new post. And every Saturday, I do our weekly game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that checked in today on our blog, Mark Orris is always listening from Arlington Heights. And Gene Jacobson, I will be listening to, from Milwaukee. Debbie Tusek will be listening from a beautiful fall day in Sammich.
Yeah, hey, Debbie.
On the phone. But a lot of people out in the city to celebrate the Cubs, well, or mourn for the Cubs now. And Gail Maslin says, I will be listening on my WGN Radio phone app from up north in Michigan in Lake City on a beautiful Lake Meskoke. Fall is finally here, and we're getting cool, gray days, blowing leaves everywhere.
Mm, very nice. Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. And if you are heading south on 94 from Milwaukee, and certainly not the driver, but if there's someone in your vehicle that can send us a text and give us an idea of what your traffic is like leaving Milwaukee, do that. We'd love to hear from you. So 312-981-7200. Check in with us. In fact, you can check in with us all night long at that very number. Mike Kuchonian from Ohio says, I did pretty good. He said, now if I sneeze when I say his name, it will sound more correct. So thank you, Mike.
Mike Kuchoni.
That's right.
And let's see. Mike Skifrom in Elmwood Park is listening in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He just texted us.
So thank you all for checking in. We had a bunch of people that were checking after the conclusion of the Cubs game. And if you are just tuning in, yeah, we're not having the party that we thought we were going to be having tonight.
Yeah.
So.
This time of year, people always wonder, how do I get good phone pictures of these Halloween events, the Halloween decorations, mm-hmm. or am I having a Halloween party, nighttime photography on your phone? We're going to be talking about that and just general holiday photography.
Yes. And he's been up to so much, we had to finally pin him down after months and months.
And he is the rock star photographer. That is your Will Byington. Hey, Will.
Hey.
We haven't talked to you in months because, in fact, you have been hanging with stars taking pictures.
It's been a fun year. It's been a very fun year. I don't know where the time has gone. How is it already mid-October?
And we had to pin you down now because, like the rest of the year, you're going to be traveling and taking pictures.
It's a pretty fun run I got coming up. I'm doing everything from photo classes that we'll talk a little bit about in Cancun next week to the following week.
It's I'll a be tough job, but somebody has to do it.
And then here's the crazy thing, and it's so surreal even when I say it, I almost don't believe it. Next week, Cancun for ALGV, the Apple Leisure Group, vacations, doing photos for their, teaching their travel agents how to take better photos with their phone. The following week, I'll be in Nashville at the Ryman with Bill Murray and his Blood Brothers.
Nice.
Cool.
The blues band that he's doing. It's a great thing. I've done about 15 of those shows this year, including Red Rocks, which was so fun. Mm-hmm. And now I'm very excited to go to the Ryman in Nashville.
Have you ever been to the Ryman?
I have. I have multiple times. I've never been. I've taken a tour, so I guess I can say I've been backstage. Mm-hmm. But just like Red Rocks in Colorado, which is one of the best venues in this country.
Yeah.
To be able to be backstage, on stage, and all over during a show is just, the hallowed halls.
When you're at the Ryman, you have to go out the back door, and that alley between the Ryman and Tootsie's.
So that's where, I guess I have done that. I've had friends play there, and you got to stop in Tootsie's. It's a legendary, it's one of the last true bars on that street, because now they're all the newest country stars
and
put their name on them.
Tootsie's, for years, they had their second location was in Pier Park in Panama City Beach. They closed that, and now they're constructing. It is going to be a huge location. It is where there used to be, Club La Villa?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Which was the largest nightclub in the world. And this is right on the beach in Panama City Beach, and that is where the construction for the second Tootsie's is going on.
It's
going
to be amazing.
It is.
Huge.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Those country bars there on Broadway in Nashville, that one that they're building in Panama City Beach, it's absolutely crazy. But I love it because it shows people are still going to see music.
Yeah.
People are still supporting the arts, and it's kind of fun. So literally, I go from there, then I do the Hallmark Christmas movie cruise as the official photographer.
How fun is that?
It'll be my 173rd cruise for Six Man.
So you're on the cruise and they're just showing Hallmark movies while you're on the cruise, or what?
They have it's everything. So they did it last year. I did not do last year's. They did two last year, the fastest sellouts at the time for Six Man. And Six Man's done cruises with Kiss, Bon Jovi, Beach Boys.
With the Hallmark
Christmas movie cruise sold out fastest of any of them. This year it's on a big ship. I think it's like 5,000 people.
Oh my gosh.
And
at night, you know what they do? They get together and they drink hot cocoa wearing their cuddly robes.
The funny thing is, you're joking. They do.
They do.
That is exactly what. There's cast and crew of the Hallmark movies come on the boat. So there's, I think, about 25 actors and actresses, directors. They show the movies, but they literally do have hot chocolate. They have snowball fights. They have
you know who we have to tell about this? Our former engineer, Gotham Tony, who is back on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. He and his wife, they start watching the Hallmark movies
the whole month of December.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I think they started in July. It was the Christmas in July.
That's
that got
right.
Them.
Right. Well, I'm wondering, with the cast, Lauren Elena crossing over from country music, she's huge on the Hallmark circuit.
I'll have to look. The interesting thing is, over the years, I've been lucky to get to know Melissa Joan Hart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The old Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sure.
Or Buffy. Was she?
She was Sabrina.
She was Sabrina.
So I've gotten to know her. And I reached out last year when we first did it, and I said, oh, are you going to be on this? And she goes, Will, silly Will, I'm on Lifetime Christmas movies, not Hallmark. So the interesting thing is, you have to be careful, because there's now three different competing Christmas
three.
Movies. I think it's GAC.
They
do Christmas movies, Lifetime, and then Hallmark. And I guess it's kind of like WWE wrestling with WCW. Like, you don't cross over. they don't talk to each other. But it's going to be fascinating. It's, again, something like 4,000, 5,000 people losing their minds with actors and actresses.
With perfect human beings in Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Wow. So, good-looking men, adorable women.
It's going to be fun. So I'll be photographing that, the official photographer for that. Talk about a crazy week. That week alone, I'll go from the Hallmark Christmas movie cruise that I'm photographing in the Caribbean, Miami to like Cozumel. I get home from that, and I go to Las Vegas for an event with Kiss. You can't get much different than Hallmark Christmas movie lovers and Kiss fans.
And is that going to be Kiss at the new dome?
The Sphere?
So unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, okay. The interesting thing is, and I don't know all the exact details, but I guess Kiss, when they retired, the end of the road that finally came, obviously it's not totally the end of the road because they're doing a big convention and festival in Vegas. They won't be wearing makeup, though. Some deal they made, they can't wear makeup anymore.
So that's right. Because they sold the rights to the KISS characters to something. They got $1 billion.
And the $1 billion because they needed more money. And so they sold it. And they now that company can do movies and digital avatars, basically, of them. Holograms, the equivalent. AI versions of KISS. But Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley will be there, and they're biggest fans. And we're doing
probably wearing makeup.
The fans,
you know,
we did 11 years of the KISS cruise, and I photographed all of those. The best was the people wearing KISS makeup in 90 degree Cancun sunshine,
and the makeup
let's just say those tan lines those tan lines are quite interesting.
Weird
when you have a KISS sunburn. But
And the number of cruises you've been on,
I just did the Joe Bonamassa Blues Cruise to Alaska.
Oh, I bet that was cool.
We did from Seattle to Alaska with Joe Bonamassa and a bunch of great bands. And that was my 172nd cruise that I have photographed for this company called Sixth Man out of Atlanta.
I have to ask, how many guitars did Joe Bonamassa bring with him?
Too many. We can't keep track. We can't keep count. I also don't think he actually admits how many he brings, but he does.
Because he always needs just one more.
Yeah, exactly.
He literally has, I think, one of the biggest personal guitar collections in the world. Yeah. And it's interesting. If you follow him on social media, he's always talking about buying an airplane seat just for his guitar.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And when you have a guitar that's worth more than some people's house, I'd buy a seat for it, too.
I have to say,
One of the coolest Christmas presents Johnny got me last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a jewel box.
A shadow box.
And it has all these guitar pins. And it's the Joe Bonamassa guitar pin collect. Because as you can see, I always wear a guitar pin.
I have to say, he wrote the book on how to market. He's doing things that all of the guitar companies don't get. He has things not only for men who are into guitars, but there are things that I love, the jewelry that he, and the clothes.
And he does a pop-up shop on the cruise. The interesting thing about Joe Bonamassa, for a guy who doesn't really get radio airplay, if you really look at it, he's one of the best-selling blues artists ever. And he markets himself. At one point, if we were having this conversation last January, I could have said Joe Bonamassa has three cruises sold out within a 12-month or so period. He had a cruise in March that was in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. He did the blues cruise to Alaska, and his 2026 cruise at that point had already sold out. They are brilliant at marketing. A friend of mine's a band manager and lives in New York City. And he goes, I've never seen Joe Bonamassa, but same thing. He's fascinated by his marketing. In New York City, Joe Bonamassa will sell out the Beacon Theater or whichever theater, but then he'll buy bus ads and billboards saying Joe Bonamassa live at the Beacon Theater sold out.
Oh, smart.
And so many bands don't do that. You know, one, because they're like, we like money and they want to keep their money. But he'll market it, even though the show sold out.
Yeah.
He'll do marketing saying, sold out. And then people go, you kind of go, why would he do that?
I'm missing that. Everybody else is going to that.
There is a book on the number of artists who have done their own campaigns and kind of taken that away from all of the big record companies.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying, well, I'm an independent artist. This the corporation isn't going to promote me. I'm going to promote me. Mm-hmm. And they wind up owning more of their merchandise and making a ton of money off of their merchandise that they own.
It's definitely not an easy battle. I mean, it's definitely a very strenuous. And I mean, the entertainment business today, as y'all know, is so fragmented, is so to get your name out there, to get people to pay attention to you, and then people to remember you.
Yeah.
And then the bigger thing is not only knowing your name, but then spending that dollar. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell we're talking about photography? It's kind of like the Family Circus comic strip where Billy starts to walk across the yard, but he goes up and down and around and in the tree and all over the place. So, Will, Halloween photography, phone, nighttime, dark. How do you do it? Make it good, sir.
So what tangent do we get on that? No. No. Yeah, you know, what's fun about the phones now, and that's where I started doing my shot club photo class that I do, is everybody's got a phone, and you've got it with you. So it's time to photograph your kids, maybe your pets dressed up, all that. I'm going to do an example. During the next commercial break, I'll do it, but I'll talk you through it right now. The best way that I tell people, the three kind of steps that I suggest when you're shooting, is the first thing is you want to do on an Android or an iPhone is tap to focus, because a lot of people, it's amazing how many people don't know to do that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden their kid or their pumpkin, whatever they're shooting, is slightly out of focus.
Like an icon that comes up in the middle of that picture that you're looking
at. Exactly. So on both phones, there's a little square or circle. Tap, and wherever you tap, that's going to be what's in focus. So play with that, first of all. The second thing you want to do is change your exposure. And so what's cool about that is if you tap that little box and hold down on the screen, it'll lock your exposure. It'll lock your focus. So once you've tapped to focus, hold it. It'll lock it. And then the cool thing you can do is on the iPhone, for example, there's a little sun that shows up on the left side of the box. I think on Android, it's usually an icon below the box or the circle. But either way, on iPhone, for example, that little sun, most people have no clue what that does. That changes your exposure. So what's cool to do there is tap to focus, use that sun, bring it down. Usually, you want to make the picture darker. This is going to make it more dramatic, more just unique for that look that you're going for with that Halloween type shot. Because if you think of like the auto setting is always really bright. Everything's bright. So you want to make this a little more dramatic. So change that, tap to focus, change that exposure. And then the second thing I really recommend is I say never use the flash that's on your phone. The flash is always bright and harsh and awkward. It's eight times out of 10, it's not good. Unless you're doing a selfie, sometimes the flash is good there because it'll light up your face. But other than that, try not to use your flash. But
the only thing that I use the flash on the phone for is to find the keys that I dropped in the theater.
Here's the second thing you're going to use this for. The fun thing to do is use your friend's phone or another phone that you have around you, if you have someone else's, or a flashlight or something like that. Turn on the flashlight. Not the flash, turn on the flashlight of another phone. And what you're going to do is, I call it paint with the light. So what you're going to do is use that flashlight from your friend's phone to light up your subject. Maybe it's the pumpkin, maybe it's the dog, maybe it's the kid, whatever the costume is, you're going to use that additional light to do that. And then you're going to change that exposure by bringing it down. You'll make it darker. You'll make it more dramatic and unique.
Does it kind of make you look scary if you turn on that light and literally you put it like under your chin?
You can play with it. And that's where, again, exactly the key is. The number one thing we always talk about when I come on your show, and I love it, is I want people to play. You can't break anything. You can't mess anything up. And the beauty of it is, unlike Julian's film camera that he's got that costs money to develop the film, digital doesn't cost you anything. So the fun thing is, take 100 photos, take them with the light below your neck, do the eerie thing, do above. And again, it's I call it, like I said, paint with the light.
I love
and
that.
By moving it around, the cool thing about it is, unlike the flash also, when you use a flash, it's one dimensional. It's straight on. Wherever the camera's pointing, it's straight on. So you have the shadow right behind you, all that. By using someone else's flashlight on their phone or a real flashlight or a real light, you paint with the light, and you instantly in your camera, you're going to see where it's lighting you up, the shadows are.
Yeah.
So again, if you're going underneath, I usually say never shoot someone from underneath up because nobody looks good, you know, shooting underneath their chin. But for Halloween, that's a great shot.
Yeah.
The final third tip that I do say is, if you have it, use it. On the iPhone, it's called portrait mode. On Androids, it's professional mode sometimes. Sometimes it's called portrait mode too on Androids. But portrait mode is amazing. And what's cool about it is, take it with portrait mode turned on. Just take it in the basic setting. The coolest thing you can do is, after the fact, you can actually edit it. And Android does a version of this, but iPhone does this part best. We don't need to get into Android, iPhone, which one's best. They're all amazing, and they all do really cool things. But portrait mode on the iPhone, after the fact, you can change it. And if you swipe over in the editing setting, you can make it black and white, where the whole background is black.
Yeah.
and it gets that really dramatic, cool look. And like I said, we'll do a test. I'm going to do some shots of y'all that you can share that are really, really fun to play with.
I just learned that you can hold your finger down and lock in your setting.
And so what's great
How did I not know that?
Well, and what's great about that is that what I use that for, and I tell people a lot of times, a lot of people ask me, because of all the rock shows I photograph and bands,
right?
If you're photographing a speaker on stage, a band on stage, what, or even if you're at RIP to the Cubs season, sadly tonight, but if you're photographing even a batter, whatever you're photographing, by tapping to focus and holding it and then bringing that down, the cool thing is every time you hit that shutter button while that's locked, it'll stay exposed the same way. And what's good about that is when you're shooting a band, photographing a band or whatnot, there's so many times if you don't do that, every time you hit the shutter button, it goes back to overly bright and out of focus or whatnot. So it's a great way to lock it in.
Great tips. In fact, if suddenly you got interested and remember the podcast will be posted in a couple of days and you can listen to Will Byington again.
Will was taking strange pictures.
Demonstrating how you take the second phone, turn the flashlight on, and I thought I was supposed to hold it, but Will, as the photographer, actually held it with one hand, moved it over our heads and to the side and down below as he was snapping on his phone with the other hand. And some of the pictures are just scary. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we got. Well, Will Byington is a Chicago photographer, and you don't have any classes, any phone photography classes coming up because you're going to be on another boat.
Unfortunately, yeah. The next month, again, is quite crazy. But if people want to, you can connect with me at my website, willbyington.com is probably the easiest one. www.willbyington.com. Connect with me on Instagram, or I do have shotclubphotoclass.com. While I don't have any classes on the books right now, I will be doing some probably in December, probably also early next year. So if you just drop me an email if you want from either my website, my Instagram, any of the 800 ways you can reach me.
That's right.
I'm also tagged on y'all's Facebook page.
Right.
And you can feel free to connect with me. What I do, I love connecting with people. The fun thing is I try to grow this Shot Club photo class and teaching people is it truly is amazing how many people, everyone has a phone in their pocket. Everyone has a camera on them at all times. But so few people know how to play with it.
Mm-hmm.
So few people know what you can do with slow motion, time lapse, the different portrait mode. Again, so many, when I teach people about that portrait mode and even just the simple things like tap to focus, change the exposure. It's amazing how few people play with their phones. And I just say play. Have fun. See what you can create.
I was chortling because you taught us one night you were on about time lapsing.
Yes.
And so the next week as we were driving into work, we're on Lakeshore Drive, I did the time lapse series of photos. Steve, how many people posted under that? You shouldn't be driving that fast.
Yeah.
Really? This is unsafe. This is not a good image. And I'm
they were not kidding. People actually thought we were zooming down Lakeshore Drive.
No.
It's amazing. It's so fun to play with again, time lapse. And it's such a simple way. What I try and teach people is, especially if you're trying to use this for social media, everybody in this day and age needs content, everyone.
Yeah.
Whether it's to impress your family, your friends, or clients, business people, whatnot. And there's so many fun, easy ways to just play with your phone, play with your camera, and create, whether it is a time lapse. And that's technically a hyperlapse that you did. It's a moving time lapse. And what's fun about that is it is a great way to show a long period of time in a short video.
Yeah.
Let me ask you for a non-phone or non-camera photographer trick. Halloween. Kids are over. You want to get a picture of all the kids. Every time you try to get them to look, one of them is looking the other way. What is the best way to try and get everybody to look at the same place at the same time?
So that's where you offer full-size Snicker bars.
That's right.
And you hold it up. Big piece of candy because you don't want to be the guy that just gives out Tootsie Rolls. You know, they're not going to pay attention. But if you give out full-size.
Or Jawbreakers.
The most fun way for that, this is a great question. On iPhone, And again, Android has, it's called motion video on Android. Mm-hmm. On iPhone, it's called live photo. And I recommend always leaving that on. What you do is you leave live photo on. And what that does is when you're taking the photo, it does actually witch magic. Let me start there. Since we're talking Halloween, it does magic because it starts recording before you even hit the shutter button. Somehow, some way, it knows you're about to hit the shutter button. And it starts recording a little video. So when you take a photo with live photo on, it creates a little 3-second video of what you're shooting. Best way to get eyes open and everybody looking, because with that little video, after the fact, you can hit edit and there'll be a little thumb strip that shows up. And in that little thumb strip, you can move it along there and make a key photo out of that little video.
But could you take Will out of one and Johnny out of another?
So the cool thing about live photo, and I'll create a little demo that y'all can share about this. Also, what's fun about live photo is you don't need to do that. Live photo, I recommend always leaving on motion photo on Android. Because the cool thing is, how many times have you handed your phone to someone else and they take one photo and somebody's eyes are closed or they're not looking?
Yeah.
You can save so many photos. It also works for bands. It works for speakers. It works for anything. Because how many times do you miss the shot because it's slightly out of focus, whatnot? The cool thing with this little video trick is it's easy to get it. There is a way, there's apps you can do, and Android, the Google Pixel has a really cool feature where you can take a picture and then take another one and insert people remove people. Mm-hmm. Using the magic eraser now is a great way to remove people. But the easiest way, without getting into fancy Photoshop and editing people in or out, live photo is going to be your trick to get all those kids looking. Because you also, if you're trying to do a picture with a bunch of kids, the other thing you might want to do is burst mode. What you can do on the iPhone is literally when you're holding the shutter button, if you hold it and swipe to the left, it'll do what's called burst mode. And it'll and be careful with this because you'll end up with 100 photos. And it goes really, really quick when you're doing burst mode. But the cool thing with burst mode is it's another way to get it where you get literally the – let me see if – see, like I just did it and I've got my sound off because I turned everything off for being here. But I literally just took, I think, like 27 photos.
What?
A burst.
You just held it up. Really?
Yeah. So what you do is, again, your shutter button, and if you hold it to the left, it'll do burst mode, and it literally is.
And then you'll see that.
Is that only on iPhone?
I think Android has a version of that. There's a way to do burst
mode. We'll look to see if I've got it.
But you have to be careful again. Burst mode is great if you're trying to get action, sports, kids running, doing something. But that's another way. But I really think the easiest, best way to get everybody looking, everybody in that best photo, is live photo.
But with burst mode, are you getting a similar strip of photo so you can go in and pick the one that you want?
Yeah. You can go in and pick one out of the 15.
Yeah.
And they've actually improved it. It used to be your camera roll would all of a sudden have 37 photos in.
Really?
The cool thing is it shows up on iPhone, at least, as a burst. You can go through and you can pick the ones you want to save, and then it'll ask you, do you want to delete the rest?
So, yeah.
Burst mode's fun.
George says, on the iPhone, after you tap the screen and the yellow box comes up, is the yellow box the point of focus until you take the photo, or do you need to retap it if you move the camera?
So the yellow box is what I'm talking about for that. That's what's in focus. And again, if you hold it down, wherever you tap, it's going to be in focus. And then if you just hold your thumb on it and hold it, it'll pop up with that AEAF lock. And it'll stay locked on that till you hit the screen again, other than the shutter button.
Okay.
So hopefully that helps.
Time always goes by way too fast anytime Will Byington is in the house. And we've only got about 10 minutes left. So how do we cover everything in the world?
Can we quickly sneak in some questions for Will?
Of course.
This listener from 414 area code said, I am unclear on the burst mode. Should I be on photo? It used to be easy when I had my first generation SE, but with the iPhone 13 mini, it's not working the same. Now when I hold the shutter down, it takes a video.
So what you want to do, so again, and this is the one crazy thing, and it's why I said no to teaching for so many years until Apple Leisure Group talked me into it. because every phone's different, and every time they update the software, mm-hmm. it seems to change.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many times they've updated software in the middle of a week. And, yep. you know, on Monday I teach one thing,
yeah.
and by Thursday it's changed. I believe what you do is you are in photo, mm-hmm. and what you do is, yes, just swipe left. So because if you hold it down, just hold it straight down, it does turn into video.
Uh-huh.
But on the iPhone, and I believe it works for the SE.
Well, actually, he's on iPhone now. He gave up his SE.
Oh, no, you said iPhone 13 SE, I thought.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, you're right.
So what you do is from the shutter button in photo, if you swipe left, it'll go to burst mode. You'll see in the middle, it'll start just counting a number, and it'll start counting up how many pictures you're
wow.
taking.
Wow.
Be cautious and careful with burst mode, because you will end up with a lot of photos.
Also, he says here, it's the iPhone 13 mini.
Okay. Well, and that's still same. It should work. It should work.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
if you hold down the shutter button, it goes to video.
Video, and you swipe left.
And if you swipe right, it'll actually lock into video. So if you've ever been in photo mode and you all of a sudden realize you want to start filming video, if you hold it, if you just hold it down, it'll do video. If you want to keep it on video, if you swipe right, it'll go to video.
Left.
If you swipe left, it'll do burst mode.
Okay. Will, how large of an enlarged photo from your phone do you think you can make without losing the quality? Doesn't it depend on what you're taking?
So it depends on a lot of factors.
If it's sunsets or...
I am probably not the best person to ask for this, because I love printing my photos large.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done a lot of big photos from my phone. I definitely do upgrade each year, but... One of my best-selling photos and one of my favorite photos I've taken is a picture of Wrigley Field that I took in 2003, and it was with a 3-megapixel camera.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's a picture. It's on my website, willbyington.com. It's Wrigley Field with a baseball in the grass, and there's the scoreboard behind it. Just an iconic, timeless photo that I tried to capture. That was a 3-megapixel photo, and I've printed that something like 4 feet tall by 6 feet tall.
Wow. Really?
I've printed it big. So I really am a big believer. The one key you want to be careful with, and there's also now AI apps and programs
mm-hmm.
where you can resample and upsize and create amazing photos and amazing prints from even low resolution.
Aren't there apps that actually add pixels?
There are some, yes. Yeah. And you can definitely go big. I'm a big believer. The one problem some people run into, and I do not recommend this, whether it's with your real camera or your phone, sometimes people go, I'm running out of memory, so let me take the picture at a lower resolution.
Mm.
I highly, highly, highly recommend memory. If you're talking your camera, mm-hmm. memory cards are so cheap now. But you can also back up stuff off your phone. You can back it up to Dropbox, iCloud.
Yeah. Google Photos.
Google Photos. So I hate, because this is where I get, sometimes people ask me about storage for their photos. I stay away from that, because I don't want to tell you, once you've backed it up to iCloud or Google Photos, to delete it, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be responsible if you delete something that mm-hmm. you thought was backed up and isn't. The same thing goes for never take your photos at a lower resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only reason this is a tough question, is because if you're taking the picture, or if sometimes when you email that photo to yourself, people click, they go, oh, I don't want to overload my email inbox.
Mm-hmm.
So they click small, for example. When you yeah. email a photo from your phone, it says small, medium, or large. I say always email it large, save it large, take it large. Because if you don't, then you get the photo. And every now and then I hear from people, or they send me a photo. They say, hey, how big can I print this? And I go, well, that's a really small file size
mm-hmm.
because they've saved like the thumbnail maybe instead of a photo. And it just gets a little
crazy. Do you find that sometimes there is a huge difference in sending someone a photo, for example, in Facebook Messenger, as opposed to emailing them a copy of the photo? Because we found several times that Facebook, it would actually come out smaller.
Yeah, so, you know, and I do recommend, yeah, email's best, Dropbox is best, mm-hmm. Google Photos is best. Facebook, and again, and here's the other thing, to get on a soapbox, it was so nice of y'all to bring it so I could stand on it today. I do recommend print your photos. Mm-hmm. And whether you're looking to print large, play with also another thing you can do that I highly recommend. If you're worried about how it's going to look large, print it on canvas. Because what's cool about printing a photo, a digital photo on canvas, is if it's not the highest resolution, not the sharpest mm-hmm. photo, if it's on canvas, it'll kind of look like
okay.
a painting.
Yeah.
It'll kind of give it that look. So that's a cool thing. But really, I worry about our future, because if Facebook ever goes the way of MySpace or Friendster, I know so many people who never print a photo, never save a photo.
Because it's on Facebook.
And they go, oh, I've got my life on Facebook. Mm-hmm. That could go away tomorrow. Yep. So I do highly recommend print photos, print, save them, back them up, save them for yourself. If your phone gets stolen, if your phone gets lost, if you lose your password, if you just never know. And there's also the other soapbox I love getting on is give a photo as a gift.
Absolutely.
Because it is amazing in this day and age, just printing a little 4x6, printing a 5x7. It's cheap, it's easy, and just giving that to someone.
Yeah.
You forget how special.
And sometimes one of the most personal touches we've had are cards from a friend of ours, Anne High. And she takes photos, and she will make them into her own little greeting cards and send them. That's a wonderful gift.
Shout out to Walgreens. How many Christmases did I give ceramic coasters with a half a dozen of my photos of my flowers? Yeah. Yeah. So you get a garden of my flowers on ceramic coasters and under $20.
I have a whole collection of coasters that are me. It's my hands with different guitars that Johnny had made into
and
coasters.
Awesome. I did them all in black and white, too, which is great.
Black and white. And that's a fun edit. You know, back to even our Halloween photos. The fun thing to play with also is there's a great app called Snapseed. Mm-hmm. Snapseed is from Google. You can make the picture black and white, leaving one thing in color.
I love that.
Kind of a fun trick to play with, where all of a sudden, you know, maybe you have the pumpkin just in color or the makeup. If your son or daughter, I guess your daughter would be not a vampire, but if they're a vampire, but you know, if they're a vampire and they have the blood running down their face, just leave that in color.
Yeah.
And that's a fun way to edit Halloween photos and edit, you know, like I said, keep your jack-o'-lantern in color. Play with that. Snapseed's a great app for that.
Johnny's done that sometimes with different photos. Yeah.
Well, my idea of a good time is if he's driving and we're stuck in traffic, I just play with my pictures. I just get in there and I just start doing wacky things.
And that's that's the beauty again. Unlike film, you don't have to worry about messing it up. I will end up with 10 of the same photo in 10 different edits. Sometimes it's color, sometimes it's black and white, sometimes one part of it's in color.
Okay, so here's a black and white of us as vampires, and you just see the one pop of red in the black and white, because we're vampires.
You should share that. We'll put the picture I just took of you next to that. Which one the guests like best.
By the way, that picture Johnny just showed you, we were at Pumpkin Fest years ago, driving home from Pumpkin Fest in those costumes. We had to stop at a gas station to run in and grab the Sunday morning papers.
It wasn't Halloween, and no one cared.
Yeah.
You know,
Dracula and vampire in the store.
It's
okay,
just another
fine.
Day, you know.
And y'all make excellent vampires.
Thank you. Dracula.
But that's a fun thing is just play with your edits, play with the way you take them. It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't cost anything. And you can really get creative, fun, cool shots.
Well, people have questions for you. In fact, 414 said, thank you. It worked. He swiped to the left and the burst worked.
Awesome.
Yes. Awesome.
Are you completely booked up through the end of the year? Can we get you back in here?
We could probably do this for Christmas.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, do Christmas lights. And people are asking about the moon and taking moon pictures. I'm going to quickly say, you've said in the past, do a video and then look at your shots and your video, and you'll be able to pull a good moon.
Yeah, the 30-second there is with your phone, turn it on to video. Start wide, zoom as you're recording the video, zoom in, use the same trick, tap to focus, bring the exposure down when you're zoomed way in on the moon. The whole time you're filming a video, but you'll see that moon come into focus. And then on the iPhone and I think Android, there's a little white button that you can hit while you're in video that'll take a photo, and you'll get a little bit better.
Very cool. Will Byington, thank you so much for your time.
WillByington.com.
Yep.
And you will find the link on our Facebook page. Thank you, thank you. And let us know when you can be back in here around Christmas.
When you're on land.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Will.
Yes, we're going to segue from photos to technology, and we are now joined by the man who is the Director of Educational Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC. That would be your Dr. Patrick Christman. And Patrick, Will Byington says hi.
Hey.
Woohoo! He's a good guy.
And you guys survived the Alabama game today.
That was way too close. I was actually had to take Joseph to tutoring, but I had it on my phone and pulled over to watch and listen to the end of the game. It's just like, that was a struggle win.
But at least they won. You know, we are all commiserating with Cub fans who.
Yes.
I was really hoping for a Cubs-Dodgers.
We would have had a massive bet going on with your family, with us, and no such luck. Well,
just mark my words. I think this is the year the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to win it. I think they're going to come back.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't take any advice from Patrick. Second thought, do. Because we got a lot to talk about in the world of technology. Can we start with the story that popped last week about the ICE app being taken down? And
this is on that Apple took down the ICE app.
Yeah.
Yep. And it turns out that both Apple and Google ended up recently pulling down or removing a handful of these apps that were running on smartphones that you could download from the App Store or Google Play Store. And what they did was they let you report sightings of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. A good example of this is there's a program called ICE Block that Apple pulled down. Mm-hmm. And basically, the Department of Justice contacted Apple and said, hey, can you take this down? And they did. Apple did. Google also removed a couple other things. Actually, out of concern that it violated their terms of service and that the apps could be abused. Apple also removed something called Eyes Up, EYES, mm-hmm. Up. And it's basically meant to archive videos documenting alleged ICE abuses. Obviously, removing apps from the app stores, that's a contentious issue. It sparked a lot of debate. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of the app, you're sitting there going, look, these apps are there to promote community safety. They're mm-hmm. there for government accountability. If you're on the other side, you argue that apps could put officers at risk, knowing when an officer is, and mm-hmm. could possibly lead to an ambush. So what's happened is these apps have been taken down at the request of the United States government. Some users are actually trying workarounds. I've heard, I haven't been able to confirm, that some people are going into their navigation apps and reporting icy roads for places where there's ICE agents. I don't know if that's true or not. It seems like an anecdote, not a real story. But the bottom line here is that the app stores like Google App Store or Apple's App Store or Google Play, they end up removing software all the time that they think violates the safety rules or could endanger people. The government made the argument this endangers the police officers. And when the government shows up and says, hey, can you take this down? Mm-hmm. The platforms typically kind of say, yeah, okay, we're going to do it. My prediction is that these apps, they're probably not going to be coming back. But what they're going to do is they'll probably reappear not as phone apps, but rather as websites or what are called web apps, where you go to a web page. And you open up the web page in your web browser on your phone, and it looks just like an app, but it's not an app that has to go through the App Store approval. Mm-hmm. If that happens, though, be on the watch out for scam websites pretending to be Ice Block or Eyes Up or whatever, and watch out for fake reports. But this is just Apple has removed a couple ice spotting apps, and Google has too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if you have these kind of things on your phone, you want to make sure that you have your phone is password protected, because if you find yourself in a situation, you don't want this stuff to be used against you.
An overzealous prosecutor could see this and say, ah, so you have this because you meant to do something bad, right, or mm-hmm. you meant to hurt an ICE agent. True or not, and it's always not, but the reality is you'd have to prove your innocence in that case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, we want to talk about Bose. Immediately when I saw this story.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
Yeah, okay. Tell us, this has to do with the SoundTouch speakers, right?
That's right. Bose had these SoundTouch speakers. They're fantastic speakers.
Well, you have three of them.
I have three of them. And if you use your SoundTouch speaker from Bose and you have it connected to the internet so you can stream radio stations and music services, on February 18th, Bose is shutting down the cloud infrastructure that lets your speaker connect to those radio stations and stream stuff, including radio stations, Spotify, Pandora, iHeart, Amazon Music. Basically, if you're using your SoundTouch to stream, it's going to stop working.
Why are they doing this?
They just don't want to spend any more money on this. And these speakers have been out for 15 years. If you have a SoundTouch and it gets radio signals over an antenna, and it did come with antennas, that's going to keep working. But if you use it to stream radio stations or anything over the internet, February 18th, it's probably going to stop working. And that's a sad thing, because that was really the reason why people went out and got the SoundTouch speakers, is it was one of the first streaming devices out there that allowed you to connect and say, okay, I want this button to go to this station that's in Chicago, this button to go to this station in LA, and you streamed it over the internet. In my office at work, which is a Faraday cage, I get no radio signals. I actually have my SoundTouch and set it up so that I've got one button giving me WGN radio, another one to do KCRW, another one for KNX for LA News, and so forth. Those are going to stop working. So what happens is February 18th, if you've got a Bose SoundTouch, it stops being a smart speaker and becomes just a dumb speaker. You're still going to be able to play sound to it from an antenna, or if you have something plugged into it. But if you stream,
that's it.
It ain't going to work anymore.
Hmm.
Okay. Can I tell you what you need to do in your office?
Please do.
The Sea Crane Wi-Fi radio.
I think I'm going to have to look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we bought three of those so far. We have one in Florida. We have one at our home in Chicago.
We actually bought four.
Brothers.
We bought one for Ann and
Oh, that's
for
right.
Your
we
brother.
Bought one for Ann.
Because
and,
downtown Chicago
and literally, you can hear radio stations from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put in the internet address, and bang, there you are. And if you can connect them to some great speakers, so have a nice day, Patrick.
But SoundTouch was not cheap. So that
And
they were hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
And,
but Bose is actually saying that they're going to be giving customers some sort of credit, maybe around 25% on a future purchase if you want to trust Bose again. I'm not sure I want to after this, so I don't know.
Well, you've got years worth of good use out of it, though.
I got years. And one of the questions that a lot of people are asking is Bluetooth going to work? And the answer is, I don't know. Bose actually, in their frequently asked questions, said Bluetooth, quote, will most likely continue to work when connected to a local source, but we can't guarantee long-term performance. Which is like,
keywords, most likely.
Yes. I do like the address they give out. You can get more information by going to bose.com/soundtouch-end-of-life. End of life.
End of life.
End of life.
That's depressing. Patrick, before we move on, I'd like to sneak this in from a listener in Wichita Falls, Texas. This is Dan, a former Chicagoan. He says, FYI, as of October 1st, Yahoo stopped supporting all the apps on my Vizio TV, including TuneIn, which I frequently use to stream WGN and some other radio stations. Yes, I have cheated on you with other stations. But he just wanted to pass that along for people. Yeah. Vizio is a very popular brand of television. Yeah. And they stopped supporting apps as of October 1st. So, other news. I'm a big fan of something that has changed as of this year. That would be McDonald's Monopoly. So now we're not actually going to get little cardboard pieces.
You do get sort of cardboard pieces, but it's a little sticker, and you get it on the device or get it on the food that you order at McDonald's. And why are we talking about this in technology? Stick with me because you are going to love this. If you want free food, I'm going to give you a hack to get you more free food than you could possibly imagine. We are going to show you how to cheese McDonald's. Okay. McDonald's has this promotion, the Monopoly promotion, and they give away tons of free prizes. It's like food, gift cards, and then a really, really tiny number of grand prizes like trips and airline miles and televisions. You're not going to win those. You are going to win free food. But the idea is to get you to go to McDonald's and get a game piece, a McDonald's Monopoly game piece, when you purchase certain items, big sandwiches, large drinks, and things like that. However, sweepstakes rules in the United States are required by law to offer a free method of entry that doesn't require you to purchase things. So it doesn't matter if you get your McDonald's Monopoly game pieces by buying food or filling out an online form that I'm going to tell you how to get to and what to do and do it. So you don't have to go to McDonald's to buy anything to play this, and you can get up to 10 codes a day. So it's as if you got 10 sandwiches that you bought at McDonald's without you having to buy anything. Big thing is you have to have the McDonald's app on your phone, and you have to have an account. So do that if you don't have a McDonald's app. And the other one, and I'll put this in the show notes, you're going to go to the McDonald's Alternate Method of Entry website. That's AMOE.playatmcd.com. Again, it's in the show notes. That's the McDonald's Alternate Method of Entry website. What you're going to do is you're going to enter in the email address you use to sign into the McDonald's app on your phone, click that you're older than 18, confirm that you're not a robot, and then agree to rules, and then continue the verification. And what happens is McDonald's is going to send you, at that email address you gave, a six-digit verification code and a unique verification link. You click on the link, enter the code. This sounds complicated. It really isn't. And then it's going to say, okay, enter your name, enter your address, click on validate my address, submit game code request. Now, it takes a couple hours for McDonald's to respond, but eventually they send you an email with two game codes that you can then copy and paste in the McDonald's app. And you can enter up to 10 codes each day.
Wow.
So my recommendation is go and do this five times a day to get your 10 codes. And I'm not kidding when I say, so far, I've gotten a $10 Best Guy gift card, four vanilla cones, two breakfast sandwiches, two double cheeseburgers. I am just cheesing this thing.
And it only takes minutes.
It's a few minutes every day. It's a fun game. Oh. By the way, if anybody listening, I put this in the show notes, but if you win one of the trips, you have to get Joseph a plushie.
That's right. You were told how to do this through Patrick, and he wants a plushie for his boy. So there.
And speaking of the show notes, for those of you who are listening to us in your car, or you're saying, oh, I can't write all this down, don't worry about writing it all down. It will magically appear on our blog within about the next 48 hours.
I have visions of you being in the drive-thru while you're doing this multiple times a day. I'm going to run by and get a cold drink while I'm sitting in the drive-thru. through. I will just get my codes.
I don't need to buy anything anymore. I could just basically, I could sit here and go, okay, I'm going to go through this thing five times, get my 10 codes, and yeah.
How long is this going to last? Aren't they going to finally say, you know what, this is
Actually, they're going to cut it off in November, so you got about a month before they kill this
thing. Well, I got to get busy during the break.
You got to get busy and start, you know. But again, 10 free codes a day, and just go to this website. So see, it does have technology involved in this.
Yes, it does.
It's the alternative method of entry website. And it seems a little complicated the first time you do it. It's like, am I doing this right? But honestly, it's like 1 minute each and every time you go through it. And then you can get, you know, two codes and then do it another guy. Okay. I do it five times in a row. You get 10 codes.
A listener wants to know, once you have been told you win an ice cream cone, do you just see that on your app and then you take that into the store and that's how you
don't have, basically you open up the app and then you see it where you would see where it's the rewards that are available to you and you just click on that reward and add it to your order.
Here's the most important question for you, Patrick.
Yes.
847 area code says, what's a plushie?
It's a plush animal. It's a stuffed animal. He's still at the age he likes little.
Oh, he doesn't like them.
Animals.
He loves them.
He requires it everywhere.
In fact, I have decorated around our living room around the big parrot that he got when you were at the aquarium.
Yep.
He came home with this giant, gorgeous red parrot, and it wouldn't fit in his backpack to get it home. And he said, Gigi, you can keep it here. You can watch it, and I'll visit it when I come back. And I'm like, cool.
We need to send him a picture of the parrot and the Halloween decorations.
That's right. So, again, that's what we love about texting. You're not born knowing this stuff. So now you know what a plushie is. And if you win that trip, you have to get one for the boy. That's the rules, because Patrick has turned you on to this scam. So run with it now.
It's not a scam. It's the law.
I think that's so funny, though, because, well, I'm sure Reddit has gone to town with this, haven't they?
Everybody's going on. Yeah. So, yes.
Wow. Okay. One of the things we want to talk about is a TikTok update, because, of course, that is news, because, 170 million people use TikTok?
Just in America.
Yes. And we've talked over the past year and a half I guess it's been about a year and a half about changes.
About a year and a half.
Yeah, proposed for TikTok.
So Patrick, before we get into this, I don't know that we have asked you. What is it? We talk just 170 million Americans for TikTok. What is the service, the web service that has the most
users
around the world?
Probably WeChat, although there are a couple Chinese apps that might have even higher than that.
Really?
Yep.
WeChat?
WeChat.
Is that available in this country? I've never heard of it.
Yes. Yep.
Do you use it?
I do not, but it is very popular overseas.
Okay. Well, so is TikTok. And there have been things floated, and there have been deadlines, and deadlines have been moved. And where are we today?
Yeah, back in 2024, Congress actually unanimously passed, first of all, Congress doing something unanimously, shocking. I can't imagine that. But they passed something called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. Boy, it just rolls off your tongue. And it made it illegal for U.S. companies to host or provide services to TikTok unless the app was separated from its Chinese parent company, ByteDance. The law was actually written to prevent China from spying on the United States through TikTok or to use the algorithm in TikTok to influence Americans. And the Supreme Court actually heard the case and said, no, this law is absolutely perfectly constitutional. Well, Donald Trump has repeatedly sort of pushed back the enforcement of this law. It was supposed to be going into effect on January 19th. And he pushed it back and kept pushing it back. And there was an executive order that was issued very recently, and Trump signed it late September. It's basically saying that Oracle, Silver Lake, which is a private equity firm, and Abu Dhabi's MGX is going to control nearly 45% of a brand new TikTok USA company. ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok, is going to get about 20%, just less than 20%, about 19.9%. And the remaining 35% is going to be allotted to existing ByteDance investors. The thing I've seen over and over again, but I can't verify this, so don't take this one to the bank, but I've been told that one board seat has also been reserved for the U.S. government, but I can't find it. Somebody say absolutely yes or no.
I've heard the same rumor.
Yeah, I just can't see it in the deal, but we'll see when the deal document comes out. So what does that mean if you are a TikTok user, if you're one of the 170 million? Well, eventually, you're going to be asked to migrate from the China-based TikTok to a U.S.-endorsed version of TikTok. And the company is already building it, testing it as we speak. And China's going to retain ownership of the TikTok algorithm, basically what makes TikTok, TikTok.
Let me pause you there for a second.
Yep.
You said users are going to be asked, will they have to? And if you decide, oh, you have to, because it will stop working in America?
Yeah, they'll basically what we're hearing is they're going to sit there and say, you need to download the latest version of the TikTok app, which is specifically for the United States of America.
Okay.
So there is right now the global TikTok, which is what you have, and you're going to get a U.S. version of TikTok sometime, probably right before Christmas. That could change. They might just find a way to let you keep using the regular app. I doubt that.
Quick question.
Go ahead.
How does the American version of TikTok encompass Abu Dhabi's MGX? I find that confusing.
They're investors in it, and somehow or another, through the Trump deal, they are getting part of a 45% pie.
Aren't they primarily AI technology, MGX?
They are, but they're also investing in a whole bunch of startups, and this is going to be a very, very big syndicate that's going to make a lot of money because TikTok is worth a lot of money. So Oracle Silver Lake and Abu Dhabi's MGX are going to make bank from this.
And they'll have 45% of the company.
45% of it. That's right.
Whew. All right. So
just
when this goes into
be looking for a new version of TikTok. We'll let you know when.
Well, but a listener said, I do, as an influencer, I do rely on TikTok. I feel like I'm in limbo. And I there's nothing more that you can say other than, yep, you're right. You're in limbo, right?
You're going to be going to Valhalla or the heaven or wherever, or whatever you believe in, very shortly. The question is, we were really concerned about TikTok using the Chinese-run algorithm, the secret sauce, to sort of spy on Americans and to influence America. And now TikTok is going to be U.S.-controlled. The algorithm's going to stay in China. Is that going to be an issue? I don't know. We have to see. And
So the U.S. is going to be licensing the algorithm?
That's right.
Wow. Wow. And the possibility that there will be a seat specifically for the U.S. government involved in TikTok.
Possibly.
Okay. I feel for people who rely on this to pay their mortgage. I really do, because it is, this whole year has been insane for, and again, there are some people listening to us right now saying, well, this is just a foolish little social media platform. No.
170 million people.
Yes, yes. And a lot of people are making good money using TikTok properly.
And a lot of people are on TikTok for hours a day.
Yeah.
And TikTok is really good at showing you what they think you want to see next, and you just never leave the site. If you were the Chinese Communist Party, or you were whoever is going to be in the United States controlling it in the future, and you had access to people and you had the ability to turn the knobs one way or the other, wouldn't you turn the knobs to get the people to support your side and to turn against your opponents? And that was the big concern about this, is that is very easily manipulated. And I don't know that we've addressed the possibility of manipulation.
And again, for people that are saying, yes, but back last year when that was proposed, the Supreme Court said, it's cool. It's constitutional.
Yeah.
Right, Patrick?
That's right. And the entire Congress, both houses, unanimously said,
probably the last time.
Yeah, I know.
It may very well be the last time they unanimously agreed on anything. Well, on that happy note.
A lot of things to get to, but we also want to not let too much time pass before we touch on some of the hacks for this week.
Absolutely. And Discord is a very popular social media platform where users kind of text, they can make calls and do voice and videos. And it's sort of like you're connected to these themed rooms or communities. It's kind of like what AOL chat rooms used to be, but you add Zoom and then messaging. There was a recent story that got a lot of media attention, that's hackers claim they had stole data from about 5.5 million Discord users, including, and this was the scary part, millions of government ID photos. Discord kind of says, yeah, not so quickly. It turns out that the real exposure is a lot smaller. It's about 70,000 users may have had their government IDs exposed. By way of comparison, by the way, Discord has about 200 million monthly users and about 500 million registered users. So 70,000 is big and scary, but it's not everybody. The other thing is that it turns out the security breach didn't actually get Discord's core services. What happened was the bad guys broke in through one of Discord's third-party help desk vendors. So if you ever contacted Discord's customer support, bad news is hackers probably have access to your name, your username, your email address, your partial billing information, like the last four digits of your credit card, your purchase history, and of course, any message you sent with support. But, and this is key, if you never actually talked to Discord's help desk, you're safe. Nothing has gotten out about you. It's only the people who were contacting Discord's help desk, their data got hacked.
That's a huge difference from the original story.
The big story was Discord got hacked. And it's like, no, not quite. No, it's a third-party vendor. By the way, why did Discord have these government photo IDs?
My question,
At a lot of people. And it turns out that the third party that Discord hired, sometimes there are age dispute questions. It's like, are you old enough to see this? Are you? So you have to prove that you are of a certain age. This was Discord's old age verification system where you would provide the third party your government ID. I don't know why they kept it. That was really stupid. Discord no longer keeps data like that, but for some reason or other, this is the way it happened. So key thing is Discord wasn't hacked. It's a third-party service provider, the help desk. If you are a Discord user, your password, your direct messages, private chats, nothing to worry about. But this is a really good reminder if you are a company that has third-party that you are dealing with, or that if you are like you and me and have to submit sensitive documents like government IDs and driver's licenses to an online service to prove that you are who you are, there's a risk if those services aren't fully secure. And as more and more of the services require you to prove that you are a grown-up and show them your ID, I think we're going to see more and more of these ID exposures in the month to come. So the story was bad. It's not as bad as the media made it out to be, but just be aware.
Lesson to be learned for possible future concerns, right?
Yes.
All right. So there's another hack, something we talked about back in the summer, vishing, V-I-S-H-I-N-G, voice phishing.
So basically, instead of somebody sending you an email, they call you, they pretend to be your bank, the IRS tech support. Vishers have actually started now targeting companies. And what they're doing is they're trying to trick the companies into allowing the bad guys to break into their system, and particularly the company's Salesforce accounts. A really popular vector for that then is actually to gain access not to the Salesforce, but to one of the third-party apps that a company has that connects to Salesforce. So instead of contacting the help desk and say, hey, can I get access to your Salesforce? They'll say, hey, I'm from this company that you use that mm-hmm. does third-party integration in your Salesforce. We need to do some updates. Can you help us get in? And they've been able to get into Salesforce on some companies. Earlier this month, a hacking group that calls themselves Shiny Hunters, for some reason or other, they created a website and said that they have basically stolen data from Toyota, FedEx, Disney, Hulu, about three dozen other companies. And they were demanding that Salesforce, quote, contact us to negotiate this ransom or all your customers' data will be leaked. The deadline for this ransom was Friday, and Salesforce's response was, go to hell. And there is no way in the heck we're paying this. And Salesforce, Shiny Hunters has actually said they're going to start extorting hundreds more organizations, so this is going to be a big thing. Big thing is Brian Krebs actually looked into this and kind of said that Salesforce has kind of looked into this. This isn't from Salesforce. This is from this third-party integration through something called SalesLoft. So there's nothing wrong with Salesforce. It's just be aware of this. The Shiny Hunters and another group is called Scattered Spider. Who are these people? It turns out they're likely kids. That's the scary thing, is these are not seasoned hackers. These are
smart.
These are kids. Smart kids, but basically a few weeks ago, the proxy securities in the UK ended up charging two people in the Scattered Spiders groups. They were 18 and 19 years old, and they were charged with trying to extort about $150 million in ransom payments.
Wow.
So,
could have worked, too.
That could have worked, except for those meddling kids.
Yeah. Wow. I just read a story, a really, really sad story. I was on the Nextdoor site for our house down in Florida, and an 83-year-old man and his wife were bilked out of $36,000, every penny that they have.
Oh, no.
And he says that we own our house and we own our car, but every penny that we have, because the bank, quote unquote, called
them. It's a voicemail. Mm-hmm.
And they fell for it. And no sooner than he hung up, everything was gone.
Most important thing, never, ever, ever trust a phone call. Even if the caller sounds official, hang up, look up, and then call back.
Yeah.
Do not call the number they give you. Hang it up, look it up, and then call that back. Yeah.
And sadly, this has been going on for such a long time. In fact, how long has WGN been in this building?
It's over five years.
There is, in one of the offices, there is an old post warning of some things that you should not do. And one of the things is just what we've talked about, vishing. I mean, this has been going on for such a long time.
Yeah.
Well, Clifford Stahl actually called it pretexting. And he would talk, and this was back in the 80s and 90s, where you would call up and pretend to be somebody else and then use that to social engineer your way into a system.
Mm. We have 2 minutes. Let's talk about the updated AI-powered glasses. Do you have them yet, Patrick?
I do not have them, but just be aware that Meta, which is the company behind Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Threads, they now have AI-powered Ray-Ban glasses.
Hello.
And they're kind of cool. They also have Oakleys. Mm-hmm. And at their recent Connect event, they introduced a new pair of these glasses that are powered by AI, that have a camera, have a mic, have a speaker, and now include an in-lens display. It's a small little display, 600 by 600, off to your right side. But what it's like is having this glanceable screen that shows you tasks like following a map or zooming in on a message or viewing translations. If you're interested in this, check it out. It's called the Meta Ray-Bans, And actually, I think it's called the Meta Reband view.
And so it's kind of like a heads-up display on your glasses.
Heads-up display. And the cost is $7.99, and they should be available anywhere.
I'm a little surprised.
If you want to try them out.
Yeah, only seven. Listen to me, only $7.99. I don't know. I thought well over. I was thinking well over $1,000 for something like this. Would it help you, for example, if you had difficulty seeing small print? I mean, would you be able
yes.
to see it really?
Yes.
Huh. That's there's all kinds of potential uses for this.
Yeah.
Can you video with the glasses?
For about 3 minutes, and when the camera's going on, because again, it's a small little thing.
Yeah.
But you're going to the battery in the glasses lasts for about 6 hours. The case, by the way, is actually really smart. You put your glasses back in the case, and it automatically charges your glasses, which is like, hey, that's smart.
Hmm.
Yeah, just check them out.
Okay. Well, a listener had a question about any new Apple laptops on the horizon, and you have kind of an extensive answer to that question. MacBook Air, no, because they were just updated this year, right?
That's right. MacBook Pro, yep, and expect new MacBook Pros or MacBooks Pro with M5 chips like in the next couple days. Like in the next couple of weeks, they're going to be announcing those things. If you're waiting for a really cheap Mac, the original MacBook, which not the MacBook Air, but the MacBook itself, kind of fell by the wayside. Apple's thinking about bringing it back using a iPhone class chip in it, the A18 Pro chip. Target price for that is about under $1,000, and they're saying that could come as early as the end of the year or early next year. But
wow.
If you're looking for a MacBook Pro, yes, absolutely. If you're looking for a MacBook Air, those have already been updated.
One final question, and I'm going to squeeze so much in this last 30 seconds. Listener says, would those new glasses help me as I'm going blind and I can't read anything unless it's multiplied?
Possibly.
Yeah.
And I've not heard from the people from the Lighthouse on whether or not this is the screen's going to be big enough, but it's a full 600 by 600 screen, and it may actually float off on the right-hand side, and as long as your vision is okay over there, you may actually be able to use it to zoom in on stuff.
Interesting. Wow. Well, you brought a lot of good stuff to the show tonight, Patrick. Thank you, as
thank
always.
You.
We really appreciate it. And
let's do this again sometime.
Yeah,
Patrick.
In a couple of weeks, let's hang out together.
And remember, go to McDonald's and get your alternative method of entry.
I got my app going during the last break, so I'm ready for it. Thanks, Patrick. Hug the boy for us.
There's so many things that we wanted to get to tonight. Oh, I'm segueing, but I'm putting out my hand for a turn signal. Does anybody know how to do
turn signals
with hands?
Hand gestures. Well, certainly bikers don't know that. And
yeah.
That's one of the things we were always told. If you're riding your bike in the city, you've got to use hand signals.
Yeah. But I'm signaling for a lane change.
Mm-hmm.
We want to recommend something that we just stumbled on.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yes.
I was scrolling through things that are coming up on TV. And I saw this thing, and it looked interesting. And I thought, well, okay, let's just DVR that. We did and watched it, and you should too. It is called Stripped for Parts. And you can go to strippedforpartsfilm.com. And it is about American journalism on the brink. And it has to do with this company, Alden, the company that took over the Chicago Tribune, and it is about a 90-minute documentary about the journalists that are doing their best to keep local news and information coming in spite of the fact that these hedge funds, like Alden, are coming in, as they did with the Tribune, buying the Tribune, reneging on promises, wanting to sell the real estate, Tribune Tower. They got millions for that, and really couldn't care less about the what's going on with the newspaper industry.
And before you say, newspapers are outdated because of the internet.
Newspapers are not dying because of the internet. They're dying because of these billionaires who are buying them up to make a profit, only to toss them to the side. And literally hundreds, wasn't it 200 newspapers were purchased by Alden?
Yeah.
This thing is so eye-opening. You absolutely must watch
it. I forgot, and this is a key part of this whole documentary, major newspapers, chances are, they had been well established in whatever city they were in, and they had a newspaper building.
Yep.
This building is prime real estate. That is the target that these hedge fund investors are after. And, oh, if they can whittle down the newspaper, and yeah, we'll keep it going. Mm-hmm. And candidly, this is the first time since we've been married that we are not Chicago Tribune subscribers, but that has more to do with their exorbitant subscription price. So we decided, let them go for a while, come in as a new subscriber, and get a better rate. And God bless the journalists who are still working at the Tribune and trying to do the best they can. And the Sun-Times.
Yes.
I mean, Chicago has always been a great newspaper town. But again, the point is, strippedforpartsfilm.com. Go to the website. It's on PBS right now, and you can find a
channel
a
11 on Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Set your DVR. WTTW, channel 11, Sunday, October 12th, 4 p.m. And then on the 19th, Sunday the 19th at 1 a.m., it will be rebroadcast. So Stripped for Parts, American Journalism on the Brink. It is a must-see.
It really is.
It's an eye-opener. So stay with us. We're getting into the final stretch of the show.
And we want to, if you haven't seen them yet, you should go to our blog and check out the Paul Seabar videos. Wonderful videos. And the blog is steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd appreciate it if you would check it out. And subscribe. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whatever Facebook or any other social media site decides to do, you can always keep up with us on our blog. When you subscribe, A, it doesn't cost anything. B, we don't spam you. You just get an email whenever we do a new blog post. Mm-hmm. And that's stephenjohnny.wordpress.com. But speaking of, I'm segueing again.
Yeah, you signaled. I noticed you put your hand out. You're signaling for a turn.
Speaking of good friends, musical talents, and
finally,
we were just on stage with Susie Boggess a couple weeks ago, and we both were saying, why the heck isn't she in the Grand Ole Opry?
Why?
A member of the Grand Ole Opry. Because she's been on the Grand Ole Opry so many times.
Yes, yes, yes. And she sent me a text just minutes ago, and she said, guess what? I'm going to be the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry. And Kathy Mattea invited her to be the newest member of the Grand Ole Opry, which is huge.
And Susie and Kathy Mattea and Pam Tillis have done a lot of touring together. In fact, just within the past year, they've been doing a lot of touring. And Kathy was on the Grand Ole Opry tonight, and I couldn't be happier. This is a, particularly for anybody who knows anything about country music, being asked to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry, that's that's kind of the ultimate for any
and
country performer.
After we saw her on September 14th as we were going home, we both said, I had to Google it to see if she was, in fact, a member of the Grand Ole Opry, because we did not mention that if she was when we were introducing her on the stage.
And I didn't think she was, but we knew that she was going to be performing at the Grand Ole Opry.
And when I found out that, in fact, she was not a member, I said, well, that's a travesty. That is just not right, because the people that you mentioned are members of the Grand Ole Opry. So it was a special night at the Opry, Saturday night, Kathy Mattea. She knew what was going on. She was there to perform, but Susie Boggess was not aware that this was going to happen to her. Mattea officially became a member of the Opry while Susie was asked to join. Mattea was inducted by fellow member Terry Clark. Mattea is a four-time CMA award winner and host of the Mountain Stage radio show. And
Susie sent me the text tonight, and she said, guess who's going to be the latest, the newest? Mateo brought back to the stage Trisha Yearwood and Susie Boggess, who had performed earlier in the show, and they sang backup on her award-winning hit, 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses. Mm-hmm. And Mateo stopped the song before the final chorus, stating she had already been given a task as the newest Opry member. On behalf of my friends and the entire Grand Ole Opry family, she began, Susie Boggess is the voice of an angel with a generous spirit who has a collection of work that is timeless. Well, I have one question for you, my dear friend. Would you like to be the next member of the Grand Ole Opry? That makes me teary because that's so huge. Yeah,
it's funny you should say that. I just got teary with you as you were saying that.
That is so huge.
And literally, Susie just texted Johnny within the past 5 minutes.
She says, I was just so excited about all of us singing together tonight. I don't even know what to say. But thank you. I may wake up in a minute and I'll have more to say. And this is the 100-year milestone of the Opry. So.
Yeah.
It will be remembered as a huge, huge night.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just like grinning because I just know
that is so cool.
It is. It really is.
Okay, I'm signaling for a little bit of a turn. Speaking of friends of ours, a guy that we haven't had on the show in too many years.
Yeah.
Tom Hambridge is going to be joining us next week. We just confirmed this earlier this evening. Just had a message back from Tom.
Any of you fans of Buddy Guy, if you've seen Buddy at his place here in Chicago?
Tom is an extraordinary drummer, singer. He has produced Buddy Guy's most recent Grammy-winning albums. We first met Tom when he introduced us to
Susan Tedeschi.
Susan Tedeschi.
Yep.
So how many years ago would that have been? That would have been a 30? Good, close to 30 years ago. Yeah.
That's crazy. We were all just kids back then.
Yeah.
But he does some great work with Buddy Guy.
Oh, boy.
But
he.
His solo work is outstanding, too.
And he has a terrific new album out. So Tom Hambridge will be joining us next week, as will Tom Appel. We'll talk car stuff.
And then the following week will be the Saturday before Halloween. So we'll do some of our Halloweeny things, like we will rebroadcast our last interview with Chicago's ghost hunter, Richard Crow.
A portion of the interview.
Yes.
That, where he relates the story of Resurrection Mary.
Yes.
And also next week, we will... unveil again, for as we do every year, our Halloween poem and tell you how to do it if you're going to have kids over for a Halloween party.
And then as we move into November, buckle up. You know, we have this summer concert series. We're going to have a November concert series.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some fun in November, too, because we've got the Empty Pockets. They're coming back from their European tour. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing some great work overseas with Al Stewart. And they'll come back for the holidays and do some holiday shows. Muriel Anderson will be back in town so she can do her homecoming show out in Downers Grove.
Muriel will be on with us the week before Thanksgiving.
The 22nd of November.
Nikki O'Neill will be joining us.
I'm backing up. 22nd is Muriel. The 15th is the Empty Pockets. And the week prior to that, the 8th, is Nikki O'Neill and her husband,
Rich.
Rich Lukowski.
Lukowski.
Yes. Thank you, Julian. See, either you said that out loud or that was you in my head talking, right?
What? Did I say something?
By the way,
at this point in the morning, it's three minds, one brain,
yes,
maybe.
I do want to publicly say, because you've said this online, for anybody who looks at the videos of Paul Sebar, some of your best work, and you've done some damn good work.
Really, some of your best work.
Yeah. You did some fancy stuff. Of course, he's got a great expressive face that you just want to zoom in on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is one of the, I think it was the last song from the album, and where you bring his face in kind of over the guitar as Paul is singing.
Very it's fancy.
Very.
Yeah, was that Dreaming Back? I think that was Dreaming Back.
Yes,
yes,
it was.
So he's singing on the left, and he's kind of looking down, and you got him positioned as though he's looking at himself playing guitar.
You're getting pretty high-techy there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
Very good stuff.
You can't tell, but my face is really warm right now. I'm not used to this kind of praise.
Well, you deserve it. We're lucky to have you, because whenever we have musical acts in here, he's kind enough to say, yeah, as I'm producing your show, I will set up the cameras.
I'll do a four-camera shoot while I'm producing the show.
Yeah. And that makes me happy. I love doing it. You know, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like it's just it brings me joy.
Well, good.
And it shows. And what? Oops. Lights are flickering. What am I hearing?
George just texted and said, isn't the Zamboni fired up? But it's actually firing up for no real good reason other than just out of habit, because
Dean's not going to be in this studio.
He's going to be at Bradley Place because nobody can get to the station tomorrow.
And we're hoping we'll be able to get out of the station
for
tonight.
For the Chicago Marathon. Did you know that, Julia?
Oh, I knew that. I'm dreading getting out of here.
You think it's going to be bad already?
Well, I mean, I use lower whacker the whole time, so I shouldn't be.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I think we're going to have to go to the Kennedy and stay off the drive, because that's part of the closure is going to be on Lakeshore Drive. We have so many people coming in, or already in town.
Yeah. Did Big Plug Bob drive away? He was he was Zamboning, and then he drove away.
We're not messy. Yeah. You know, a couple of Rice Krispie crumbs, and that's it.
And a little chocolate chip cookie crumb. But 312-981-7200 is what I meant to say, if you would like to be our last caller. And if you are our last caller, you can win some goodies from this here radio place.
Mm-hmm.
Here he comes again. He's kind of going around the building. He's doing a little wider.
Well, he was over by the newsroom, so he had to circle around by sales and then come back up by us.
Comes back.
Yeah, but we're not messy, so he doesn't have to spend much time.
312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller. And if you haven't won anything from this here radio place in the last 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Now, as we always say, you don't have to have an agenda. For example, you may be up weeping because your Cubs lost tonight. We understand completely, because we were ready to party tonight. We had all kinds of things planned to celebrate the Cubs.
Yep.
It didn't happen. There's always next year. So if you just want to moan about that, that's fine. If you're excited about the Bears on Monday night, that's fine. If you just want to talk about what you're eating in the middle of the night, that's fine too. As we talk about all these fit people who are coming to run marathons, all we're thinking about is what are we having for dinner when we get home.
And we haven't decided yet.
No. A listener said, what's for dinner tonight? And I said, we have choices. I'm not sure I want chili at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, I don't think we're doing chili.
No. I don't think I want sauerkraut and pork chops at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, but that was real good last night.
It was good. We had sauerkraut and pork chops, mashed potatoes. Maybe we should make leftover mashed potatoes into potato pancakes.
I still think potato pancakes would go great with scrapple.
We're not doing scrapple, because it would require me to kill a hog.
Yeah?
Wait, what is scrapple?
It's parts of a pig. It's so that nothing goes to waste. And it's all mushed up with cornmeal, and it's put in. You know what? I'll have to make it some just so Julian can try scrapple.
Yes.
It's from Pennsylvania Dutch, right? Yeah. It's really how you knew it, because your grandmother made it. Homemade. I've made it a few times. We used to buy it at the store.
Okay. See, that was – grew up on the south side of Chicago. My dad worked for Southwork Steel. Didn't have a whole lot of money. And this was like a delicacy that my grandmother brought with her from Pennsylvania. You would use all the pick parts, and you would fry it into this loaf that you make it into a loaf.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would let it sit overnight. Then on Sunday mornings, you would slice it, and then you fry it, and you pour syrup on it, and it's so good. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Maybe a little too much.
I need scrapple. I need scrapple.
Stop it.
My grandmother's a big fan of cow intestine.
Okay. And in the South, we do chitlins. So, everybody's got their own cross to bear.
Yeah, we don't waste any part of the cow in my family.
But wasn't that how we originally met Robbie Foulkes?
Yes, because Bob Kessler was our producer, and he brought the Scrapple song in.
Yes.
Because of your love of Scrapple.
Yes.
It became a theme. Robbie heard about that and says, you know, I'm more than the Scrapple song. We said, really?
Yeah.
Share with us what else you do. And then that friendship started way back when.
So our apologies to Red Peters in the closing song.
Yes.
But it was...
Yeah, it was appropriate.
Yeah.
And it looks delicious.
It is.
Don't.
So good.
Don't go there.
It's so good, Julian.
Stop it.
It's so good.
Lusting for Scrapple. You are a weird man. Weird.
You're just finding that out.
I know.
I'm sorry.
42 years, and I finally, it's been an epiphany. The world of weird. I'm making you Scrapple. And it's only because Julian.
You are.
I'm making.
Well, I'm scared now. Fitting for an October show. Yeah, we're taking separate elevators down. Thank you.
We're parked next to each other, too.
Oh, boy.
By the way, listeners said, love the Scrabble song. Scrabble is with a B. Scrapple is with a P.
Right.
So if you want to look up there, if you got any pig parts lying
Scrapple.
Around and you want to make your own Scrapple, a little cornmeal and pig parts, and you make it into the loaf, and you, as the song said, you sit it in the window and let it marinate overnight, and then you slice it up. Frightened lard. All the pig parts. I do love head cheese, though. I really do. So I have to I have to cut you some slack. Do you know what head cheese is?
Do I want to know?
No, probably not. It's purdy. So imagine
it's pretty awful.
It's purdy. Imagine a slice of like a lunch meat, right? And when you look at it, it's like all different little squares of different colors. Well, those little squares are
think
different.
Think of lunch meat gone wrong.
No, those little squares are different colors of pig parts. And it's gelatinous, so it holds together. And you put it in your plate, and you pour vinegar on top, and then you roll it up and put it on saltine crackers. Oh, my Lord, it's good.
It sounds delicious. Looks...
pretty. It's really...
It looks grotesque.
It's kind of cute. It
pretty
really
is the word for you?
It's like meat marble.
That's right. You can play with your food while you're sitting there. So, all right, we got to squeeze in. Let's just take someone from Wisconsin. Yeah, let's go with that. Because,
okay, let's go with the line one. That would be
James.
James?
Hi, hey, James.
Where are you calling from?
Hello, James.
Whoops, wait a minute. Let me make sure.
You blinded by
James, you're with us?
Hello.
Hi, James.
You scared me, James. Hey, James, you're on the radio. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good. What part of Wisconsin?
We thought you stepped out for Scrapple for a minute.
Did we scare you?
I'm in Richmond, Wisconsin.
Richmond, Wisconsin. Okay.
Oh, did you call to gloat over the Brewers win over the Cubs?
I'm sorry. I was a Cub fans.
Oh, no, that's good.
Good.
That's
good for you.
Yeah, you're welcome to stick around.
Yes.
Why are you up at this hour, James?
I was listening to you and enjoying your show, and I thank you very much for that information on the Meta glasses.
Oh!
Oh, cool.
Are you the one that texted me?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Well, I'm waiting for them to come out because I am losing my vision, mm-hmm. and I have to use the magnifier on my Apple phone even to read anything.
Right, right. Do me a favor. If you do, in fact, get them, would you join us after you've used them so we can find out what your real life experience is?
Yes. And can you tell me when they're going to be available?
It's supposed to be the middle of next week. They're kind of vague at this point, but they're saying the middle of next week. They've announced the price at $799.
And you know what? When they announce it, we'll make sure to post something about it, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yes,
too.
We will. Yeah, well, once we find out where they're available and all that good stuff, we'll talk about it with you in mind, because I'd love, love, love it if you could get these glasses.
And we know several people who are having problems with their vision, and this, depending on how it works, this could be a blessing for them.
Is yours a case of glaucoma or macular?
I have glaucoma and macular degeneration of my eyes.
Right.
I have all that.
Right.
And I want you to know that I grew up right in your neighborhood.
Is that right? South side or north side?
I lived at the, Peterson and Walcott.
Oh.
By Podzine's Greenhouse.
Okay, of course. Yeah. So you're a north sider.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents were both, my parents were, had their wedding at St. Gregory's High School.
Right.
You know, the church there.
Sure, on Bryn Mawr. Yeah.
And then, right, and my grandmother lived at Bryn Mawr and Hermitage.
Hermitage, right. And I grew up, for anybody who's familiar with Andersonville, there's a church on the corner called, you just see a sign, Jesus Saves. I lived on that street, Rasher. That's where I grew up. And James, it's great to meet you. Hang on, we're going to get you a WGN t-shirt, and we're going to get some contact information from you for that reason. And if we find out anything new about the glasses, we'll pass it along to you as well.
So hold on, and Julian will get some information from you off the air. We are rapidly running out of time. This has been a fast 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Next week, what time do we start next week?
Full show. Full show.
Full show, and we got a bunch of things.
We do.
And we're adding things even as we speak.
Yes.
So thank you so much. This has been a fast night. Thank you to Julian and Bob and Ron and Gabe and all the ships at sea.
Yes.
And most importantly, thank you for hanging out with us. Talk to you next week. Stay safe.